much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, now listen.
The stars are seated. The show is about to start.
We can't wait.
Say thank you all for staying with us on the red carpet.
Enjoy.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Thanks for seeing me. I'm here because I'm thinking of doing some comedy.
Oh, right, like a comedy movie?
No, on stage. Stand-up comedy, live comedy of some kind.
Wow.
I'm a funny guy, aren't I? I'm funny, right?
Yeah.
Boy, you sure know your comedy.
Why does Kevin always sit at the bus stop but never gets on a bus?
Please don't bring that up. Don't bring anything he does up.
And now.
Well, 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 well. Nope, there's too many wells. Better answer.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:34. It is a Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean. Spectacular.
Okay. I thought so. Welcome in, party people. How's everybody doing? What's going on? What's the haps? What's the latest? What's
Sleepy.
New?
Sleepy. Dang Oscars. Go on and on.
Are they still on?
Yes, they're still on.
Sure could be. It's a long show.
That's a long show.
We'll be talking about it, of course, a lot today. Got highlights and reviews and recaps. But I will tell you, it reminded me a lot of the Kevin and Bean Show in that it's about 4 hours long with about 10 minutes that you might enjoy.
Right?
Yeah, and but
that's
not
our track record.
But not all at once either. You have to watch all of it to catch the 30 seconds
exactly.
That adds up to the 10 minutes.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it was quite a show.
It was brutal. Let's be honest.
It was pretty brutal.
I was driving to work and I go down Highland and they had like 10 buses parked on Highland and I don't like who are they picking up now? What's that about? What's that about? I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I don't know.
And they have it blocked off because they're still cleaning up Hollywood Boulevard, so you can't actually get onto Hollywood Boulevard from Highland.
That's just my odd. Job, by the way, is to ask questions no one has an answer to.
You're right, Lisa.
Come on. It's frustrating,
isn't it, Bean?
It sure is. I'll tell you what else is frustrating is, and I don't understand how people attribute to this the global warming, but apparently there's a lot of snow happening in a lot of places around this great country of ours.
Yeah.
The Boston area has had, and much of New England, has had its third major winter storm in 3 weeks.
Mm.
That just happened. Kevin, it was snowing in Tucson Thursday and Friday. Yes.
Tucson?
Yes.
Tucson?
Thursday and Friday. Tucson. Snowing, exactly.
How often does it snow there?
Very, very rarely.
Never. Tucson's one of those cities that's, 115 degrees in summer. It's not.
Right.
Holy cow.
In places in Kansas and Missouri, it was, they've had to close at some points over the weekend hundreds of miles of highway because it's been snowing so hard and so fast that people are just getting stranded. I mean, it's been awful. And then there's this story from Lowell, Massachusetts. This is a snowplow driver, and maybe you guys saw this because he made a video last week that went viral. He's the snowplow guy who, has to push all the snow out of the roads in Lowell, Massachusetts so that cars can get by.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you push the snow out of the center of the road, where does it go? It goes to the sides of the road and buries the cars that are parked there. Now, everybody knows that, and that's the snowplow's job, and they don't really have any other choice but to push the snow to the sides of the cars and bury cars there, right? And if you park your car on the street and it's snowing like that, you know that your car is going to get buried. So far, so good. Well, he shot a video through the windshield as he was driving the plow during the blizzard and was just mocking the people.
Love it.
Whose cars he was burying. Just having the time of his life.
Because his job sucks.
Love it.
Here's a little bit, just a tiny portion of what he sounded like. And please note the incredibly annoying Boston accent.
You want to find a car? You come see me.
He calls himself Dog, by the way. He's just a big doofus with a nose ring. And he basically shot this video saying, look, at the end of the storm, I was already up for 22 hours plowing, and I decided to make this video just to have some fun. It's my favorite part of the day when you push the snow, back to the curb. But that's our job. That's what we have to do. So this video goes viral, and you can imagine what instantly happens is that he gets fired and loses his job. which I guess I sort of understand because it makes people think badly of the snowplow company, but every single person driving a snowplow does the exact same thing. He was just the only one dumb enough to enjoy it, I guess.
Yeah, maybe they fired him for saying ka.
Unfortunately, I think they all say ka.
Oh, okay.
I think that's how it goes. The city manager for Lowell says he was appalled when he saw the video and felt it was an unprofessional way to represent the city. These were the words stupid, moronic, those certainly apply. It was just truly a bad reflection on the hard work that so many people do. I just think it's so fascinating that he did his job exactly right, the way every other snowplow driver does his job, yet he got fired because he had fun. Like, God forbid you enjoy your job, right?
Well, yeah, but I think he was also taking it out on other people, like...
But he wasn't taking it out at all, though, really.
Yeah. If a meter maid did their job and wrote you a ticket but was laughing at you the whole time, put it up on YouTube.
You're out.
You know, you're angry and they're fired. That's just... Well, you got that, though.
So, you do
have, so now you keep him hired.
I have a feeling that that didn't help him. I have a feeling that the nose ring and I have a feeling none of that helped him. But he certainly wasn't expecting to lose his snowplow job that day, that's for sure. So, good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amigo, shall we?
Why waste time? Say lot word when few word do trick.
Kevin, I appreciate what you're trying to do.
All Kevins on TV and movies are stupid.
I don't know.
And in real life, by the way.
At best. Mary McNamara will be on the program from the LA Times. She's a TV critic talking about last night's and part of this morning's Oscar telecast.
Yes.
Oh, I hope she didn't hang herself watching. I hope she's still alive to talk to us about it.
I don't get that.
I don't either.
Because it was a bad show.
Right.
Oh,
because right. she tried to watch the show.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you. All right. We also have Larry King on the program today talking about still being alive. I think. Is that what he's talking about?
Good for him.
I think it has some. There's some health conversation we're having with him about his heart, or I don't know exactly. I just love Larry King, and I'm always happy to have him on the show.
Pacemaker, hello. So we have Larry King coming up. We have last time you were in a girl fight coming up on the program today.
Oh wow!
We have Chris Hardwick with the Talking Dead.
Yes,
fell asleep. Bean, I fell asleep.
I think it was one of the best episodes of the whole season.
When did you guys watch it?
Didn't see it. I didn't. I was going to watch it after the Oscars.
That's nuts.
But I paused
the Oscars in the middle and watched Walking Dead, then came back to the Oscars and caught up. But, oh, what a great episode last night. And our girl Andrea, man, we just had her in on Friday or Thursday last week. She is something else on this episode. You'll love her so much.
Good.
She's great.
But this is the first time I'm going to be able to, you know, we always do the spoiler alerts, and now I'm just going to have to just roll with it.
Yep.
It's all right.
Join my world.
But I'm going to have to figure out what went on. Because Andrea apparently is Michonne now and has a slave. I don't know what's going on.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm just bits and pieces. I haven't seen it.
Okay.
We also have Oscar highlights, as Bean mentioned. And we have in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Monday. How about this weekend, Saturday, K-Rock invades Santa Anita Racetrack once again. We've got a VIP package for you if you want to hang out with our man Ted Stryker and his tail. Also, Cat Corbett will be there, Nicole Alvarez, Lightning, Omar, Dave, the King of Mexico, all hanging out in the K-Rock infield, plus a concert by Youngblood Hawk. They're the guys who sing that Come Running song, which is so good. That's coming up this Saturday at Santa Anita Park. If you want to go, we got tickets for you right now. Caller 10, you win at 1-800-520-1067.
All right, let's talk Showbiz Beat for a minute. I don't know if you saw this story, but Justin Bieber hopefully is imploding.
Really?
This is great news. His team is afraid he's spending too much money.
Well, he does.
He does buy
some high profile expensive trinkets from time to time. That's for sure.
Star Magazine, of course, are worried about it. I mean, they got the source that's worried about it. He, you know, drops $250,000 on a Ferrari and jewelry and $25,000 on a diamond Stewie from Family Guy necklace. All stuff that he needs. It's all very important stuff.
Well, Kevin, here's what you don't understand. Teen idols last forever. That money doesn't dry up. It's not like you stop making it at some point in your life. You're always going to be as hot as you are when you're 18.
That's why I'm so happy to see that he bought a pair of jeans for $1,000.
It's a
good choice for Justin Bieber, and it will shorten his lifespan by about 20 years.
You want to see him basically bagging groceries in 5 years. That's what you're looking for.
I do, and I want to just look at him and go, what's that all about?
Everybody's talking about the movies this weekend, of course. The most anticipated award show. It was actually proper answer up my nose. The most anticipated awards show of the whole year here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And of course, I'm talking about this weekend's Razzie Awards. The big winner Saturday night at the Razzie Awards. That's the Golden Raspberries for the worst films of the year. Anyone want to guess what the big movie was this year? Now, last year, just to put it in perspective, last year was Adam Sandler's Jack and Jill, which won 10 Razzies. It swept every single category last year, the Razzies. There was no one movie that did it all this year. But what do you think the worst movie of 2012 was, according to the Razzies?
Did it repeat? The same Adam Sandler movie?
Jack and Jill? No, I'm sorry. It was not eligible. No, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Excellent guess, Kevin. The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2 is the movie that won big. Let's see. Kristen Stewart picked up Worst Actress.
Good.
Taylor Lautner got Worst Supporting Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor and 12-year-old Mackenzie Foy received Worst Screen Couple. The entire cast, including Robert Pattinson, collectively picked up the Worst Screen Ensemble. Bill Condon received Worst Director. So a lot of love for Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn. Some of the other awards, by the way, include Rihanna, who got Worst Supporting Actress for her role in Battleship.
She was okay in Battleship.
Yeah,
I saw it a couple
of
weekends ago. She was passable.
I think Battleship got a bad rap.
Yeah,
how did
too.
You see Battleship, Lisa?
I walked in and my brother and my mom were watching it.
There
I was
you go.
Like, all that, right, I've never seen this.
That is shocking to me. All right. So there you go. So congratulations, Razzies. And I'm sure when we do Oscar highlights next hour, Kevin, I'm sure you've got some Kristen Stewart for us to talk about because.
My God.
She's apparently being held against her will somewhere in Hollywood and forced to be in show business because no one hates it more than Kristen Stewart.
Why
right?
will a sniper at that thing not take her out? They have snipers, right?
Yes,
I don't think
they do.
Sure they do.
Of course they do.
The Oscars do or
she's
no?
She's a black hole of energy.
Oh, my God.
And let me roll into this since we're on the topic of movies. Box office over the weekend. Identity Thief repeated at number one. That's the Jason Bateman movie, $14.1 million with Melissa McCarthy. That was number one. Snitch in its debut. That's the new movie with The Rock. Came in at number two with $13 million. Escape from Planet Earth was three. Safe Haven, four. Your Bruce Willis movie does not look like it's going to be sticking around much longer. Slipped all the way to number five already with Good Day to Die Hard at $10 million. Dark Skies debuted at 6, then Silver Linings Playbook, Warm Bodies, Side Effects, and Beautiful Creatures. That's your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Looking for a new car? You can buy one on eBay. That was, the previous owner was Nicole Snooki Polizzi. Snooki.
Snooki!
Yeah, she's selling her pink and black Cadillac Escalade on eBay.
That's got to be trashed, right?
So that's my question. You want a car? Do you... Even if it's discounted, do you want to use a car after Snooki?
You'd have to pull out all the upholstery, right?
And because you don't know what's been there. For reals, you
don't
know.
Steam cleaning is not going
to No. You'd have to burn that to the ground and rebuild it.
Yeah.
There's not enough $150 detailing in the world that can get that car straight, is there?
No, but they're calling it a, quote, piece of pop culture history.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so they're going to try and get extra money for it.
Sure, it'll end up in the Smithsonian.
Right.
Well, a reality TV star did drive it, Kevin. Sure. Of course, it's part of history. I remember when Ralph, you guys remember Ralph used to be on the show, funny guy. He did this story a few months ago that it was being talked about, but now it has happened. Jermaine Jackson has legally changed his name. His last name is no longer Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N. His new last name is Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-U-N. He legally changed his name from Jackson to Jackson. So he has the name that sounds the same when you pronounce it, but now he has to spell it for everybody because they're going to spell it wrong.
Why?
Is there any clue as to why he would do that?
All it says in the Guardian newspaper is that he changed it for artistic purposes. Now, to me, that would mean I'm turning my back on the Jackson family. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. That's the only reason I can think that you would want to change it.
But if that's the case, it would be something that sounds different.
Right.
Exactly. But he's still wearing some of Michael Jackson's old outfits on stage. The Jacksons are currently touring Britain right now. And clearly he's not trying to step away from being a Jackson. Clearly he's still out there working as a member of the Jacksons. So how are you? Please explain.
What's going through his head?
I don't know.
That's crazy family.
It's bizarre, right?
It's hard enough for guys to pick up girls at bars and whatnot. Let's say you're Mel Gibson.
Or
you've got money.
Yeah, movie star,
you're famous,
of money.
Right,
but...
you're famous. Apparently he was in Miami hitting a bunch of hot spots this month and was putting the moves on a bunch of different ladies. The New York Post Page Six had a spy that was following him around. He was making out with one, and then he would, you know, buy another one to drink, and he was trying desperately to hit on women. And I would think that the movie star and the money would be a huge factor.
Yeah.
But then you see his temper, and you go, not worth it.
Yeah.
Or do
But you,
you
know what?
No, there's you do. I mean, it's a
always,
nightmare.
There's always going to be girls who will line up to be with somebody as famous as Mel Gibson. Mm-hmm. Always. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't matter what else, what you know about him. He's still famous enough and rich wow. enough that somebody's going
to
date him.
I'm glad to know he's out drinking.
Yeah, that's good.
That's an excellent point, Lisa. Isn't that half of his problem is all the drinking?
Yes.
Showbiz birthdays today. We got some good ones, including actress Taya Leone from Deep Impact and Tower Heist. Entertainment Tonight's Nancy O'Dell turns 47 years old. She's a Miss. A lot of those girls who do that show are Miss somebody. I think she's a former Miss South Carolina. Actor Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings turns 42 years old today. Chelsea Handler. This is why Ralph is in here. He's on some sort of a birthday bender with Chelsea Handler. She is 38 years old today. The beautiful Rashida Jones from The Office and Parks and Recreation is 37. Burt McCracken from The Used turns 31. And the reason we celebrate today, though, ladies and gentlemen, 46 years old, Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
Oh, yes. Oh. And so built.
And looking good.
He must be having some sort of a cake made of steroids somewhere today. And that's your show.
Well, those 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 6.
It's not a flashback weekend. That's not what's going on here. What's happening? Why are we playing songs from the 80s, Kevin?
It's a flashback moment.
Okay, all right. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, joins us first thing Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Got a million-dollar idea for you, Harvey.
Tell me.
I mean, I think maybe I underestimated it. Maybe it's a billion-dollar idea. TMZ runs a full-time, 24-hour-a-day Paulina Gretzky cam.
I mean,
oh, that's a good idea.
I'll buy it.
Seriously, whatever she's doing, wherever she's at, you have a camera on that girl. I'm telling you what, I'm falling very deeply in love with her as a result of following your site this year.
Isn't she amazing?
Yes.
She's unbelievable at how much she's going to give poor Wayne a heart attack with the stuff that she's doing.
And you do you remember that he knocked her off either Instagram or I think Twitter because he didn't like what she was posting. She doesn't seem to be listening to him a lot.
No,
she doesn't.
And it's just the opposite for the rest of us. We all like what she's posting.
I mean, yeah, for all the talk that all the hot chicks in Hollywood get and around the world and these girls that are always show up on the sites and the bikinis and stuff, I feel like she's underrated right now. I feel like she should be a way bigger deal than she is. Don't you, Harvey?
Well, no, but you see, it's underground. That's the great thing about it. She's very smart because it's not somebody trying too hard to make a splash.
Right.
She just kind of is doing what she's doing. And then one day you're going to say, Kate Upton, come on.
Easy, Harvey. Easy. I'm not sure I'll ever say that.
All right. Let's move on to a couple of great stories up at TMZ.com right now. And I know that you were very excited to get these first pictures of Tiger Woods back together with his beautiful ex-wife, Elin. Tell me the story, Harvey.
Well, you know, it's not like they're doing anything romantic. I mean, they seem to be getting along. I mean, they're talking. They're laughing. They're at a T-ball game for one of their kids. And just, you know, it really is kind of a time heals all type thing. But, you know, when this all happened, you thought she was just, I almost quoted Taylor Swift. So you
don't do that.
Yeah,
I know. Do not do that. We're
They're
not
never,
together.
Ever getting back together again. We know that.
But you know, even to talk, but they seem to have figured out how to co-parent, you know, at least on the surface, and they're getting along. I mean, they're talking.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's what you want from parents who divorce. You want them to play nice in front of their children.
Absolutely. And it seems like they figured it out, which is great. And to Tiger's credit, especially. That was terrible to say. I totally take that back.
Okay, good.
To Tiger's credit, especially her, more her credit.
It's yeah, her credit. I agree. More her credit.
I just looked at Lisa. I didn't want to say anything. But I looked at Lisa like, what does he mean by that?
It was a stupid comment.
All right. And I thought it was interesting in your article, though, that you said that they were all getting along fine until they spotted the cameras, and then they kind of broke the little party up, right?
Yeah, but I mean that really shows that in a candid moment, they're getting along. I mean, I think it's great. I think it's great.
That's good. All right, let's move on. I can't believe it's another day at another new Lindsay Lohan screw-up. But apparently she cannot go to jail no matter what she does. But it sounds like she's in some real trouble here, Harvey. What's happening?
You're talking about taxes? Because you have to be more specific.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, we've moved on from dress gate on Friday, and now we're into taxes gate.
Yeah, no, she's a mess. I mean, boy, how can this end well? She now owes 3 years in a row she owes back taxes. What a shock. She didn't pay what she owes.
Yeah.
And she owes for 2009. She owes for 2010. She owes hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes. And remember, too, she owes Sean Hawley about $150,000. And that's literally the beginning. I mean,
that's her former lawyer, right?
That's her former lawyer. Okay. She has so many people, so much money. And she makes money, and she spends a lot of money. And you could just see everybody fuming. I mean, we might not go into sequester if it weren't if Lindsay Lohan would just pay.
Look at Tom Harvey making a federal government joke. I love it.
I made a federal funny.
How much money is she making, by the way? Because I feel like her job opportunities have dried up. Is she really still bringing in this much?
She's almost a curiosity. So she can get an endorsement to show up somewhere. She can get – and they'll pay her money. I mean, she can get money for, you know, showing – I don't know that she's in Vegas lately, but she's done a lot of this stuff. And, you know, overseas, when you go overseas, some of these sheiks and people all over the world, they will pay insane amounts of money just to have celebrities around them. So she still has that market. But you're right. I mean, I don't know how long her acting career is going to last.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like she's taking any of the acting opportunities that she has very seriously. She doesn't show
up. Well, I don't know. I don't know what opportunities she has anymore.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars, man. You were right. She should have done it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But she'd never show up. She can't show up for anything.
Instant money right there.
She's going to show up for Dancing with the Porn Stars. That's when she's going to show up.
Can you imagine the damage she would do with the CBS Lotto?
That would be awesome. Yes.
All right. Last question for you, Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Check your local listings for all the various TV shows and, of course, the website, too. How's the merchandise moving, Harvey? The T-shirts, the mugs? How's that stuff blowing out?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Oh, my God. You know, guess who tweeted? We put a Kimye baby on one of the T-shirts on Friday. Guess who retweeted it?
Either Kim or Kanye, I imagine.
Yeah, that would be Kim. 17 million Twitter followers.
Are you selling any Kimye baby T-shirts?
We are. Bonanza.
It's unbelievable. There's nothing this man can't do. Harvey, great to have you on the Kevin DeBeach Show. As always, have a fantastic week, sir.
Okay, guys. You too.
Thank you.
By the way, somebody should check on Adam Carolla. Remember when we had him on a couple weeks ago, Kevin, and he said that he wanted to put everything on Christoph Waltz winning Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars last night?
Oh, yeah, sure.
His friends talked him into not putting – he was going to put down like $1,000 or something like that and win like 80. I don't remember what the odds were at that time. But they ended up talking him down to like a $100 bet or something like that. So he still won last night, and that was one of the few surprises in the Oscars. Pretty much all the people, the Anne Hathaways and the Daniel Day-Lewises and the Argos that you expected to win did win. But that one was a little bit of a surprise, and Ang Lee winning the Best Director over Steven Spielberg was a little bit of a surprise as well. But other than that, you know, by the time you get to the Academy Awards, part of what makes the show boring, and there's a million reasons that the show is boring, but part of it is that there have been 25 other shows with the same people winning the same awards.
Yeah.
And even if you don't
watch – all of them more interesting.
Even if you don't watch those shows, you still hear about it. You still wake up and go, well, this one won the Writers' Award, this one won the Critics' Choice Award, this one won the Golden Globe Awards. I mean, there's so many of these shows that it's pretty much award show burnout by the time you get to the Oscars, I think.
Now, this is Kevin speaking, and I'm the one that was supposed to bring in clips today. And so, you know, you can't just skim through. You have to watch the whole thing.
Right.
Because you don't want to miss that moment. Right.
And wow. I might be the wrong guy for this show. Wow, is it bad?
Well, you usually –
what a terrible TV show it is. I'm not –
you usually don't watch them all, so
right,
you have no idea they're always this bad, Kevin.
Really?
And look, part of the problem is, and I know that nobody wants to change this because the formula works. The Oscars is going to be a highly rated show, okay? No one cares about 80% of the categories that they present on TV, and that's the problem, is we don't care about your documentary and your animated short and your sound mixing. We don't care about any of those things, and I know they're all important, and I know you need to do them. That's why you have awards that are given away off television, though.
Yeah, and by the way, as somebody, you know, that likes movies and watches a lot of movies, I have no idea where to see most of those. Those short movies and animated shorts and all that. Where do you even go to see those movies?
And you don't care about those people, and it's just one more 65-year-old guy with long white hair getting up and wasting time on my TV. Just one right after another.
Seth MacFarlane was the host last night.
Yes.
Thank God for Seth MacFarlane. I thought he was good, but not great.
Mm-hmm. I had the same feeling.
Here he's talking about Argo. We were talking a minute ago about the fact that Ben Affleck was not nominated for Director of the Year.
Argo. Who saw Argo, right? Great movie. Argo tells the previously classified story about an American hostage rescue in post-revolutionary Iran. Now, the story was so top secret
that the film's director is unknown to the Academy.
See, because the movie was nominated, but not the director.
I kind of agree with you. Look, I'm like you. I love Seth MacFarlane. I think he is phenomenally
talented.
I do too,
but he's handcuffed by this show and that audience, yeah. I think.
Maybe so. But I also think he didn't do himself any favors by he had a little bit of the Ricky Gervais disease to me, which is look how edgy I am.
Yeah.
And telling a lot of jokes that kind of bombed and then trying to make fun of that or backtracking on jokes that didn't go over well. I mean, it was a little too precious for me. I wish he would have just had a little bit more confidence and done what he does. But you're right. I think he's trying to please too many masters. Yep. And that's what puts him in a tough spot.
And that room is not the room that's going to respond really well to anyone that's up there mocking them.
Right.
Here he talks about Roman Coppola, though.
Roman Coppola, nominated for Best Screenplay for Moonrise Kingdom. He is the sixth member of the Coppola family to receive a nomination. Now, that's got to be a fun house to grow up in, right? Mom, I got an A in Spanish. Oh, really? Literally everyone you're related to has an Oscar.
That's true. Pretty funny, right?
Yep.
And still the case. And then everything went south with Captain Kirk. What happened?
That was
honestly, what was that?
I liked the idea. It just dragged on.
Yes. So, I'm with Lisa. It was I love the fact that they tried something so wacky as having a starship commander from the future come down onto the Oscar stage. I like that. But it didn't need to be 20 minutes
it
long.
It was an hour if it was 20 minutes.
And they could have just picked up the cues a little bit.
Here's the beginning of it when Seth MacFarlane is talking to the crowd and then this giant screen with Bill Shatner dressed as, Captain Kirk starts talking.
Also, the hell's going on?
Enterprise to Dolby Theater, come in. Come in, Dolby Theater. This is Captain James T. Kirk. Respond, please. Will you respond?
Captain Kirk, what are you doing here?
Well, I'm here to stop you from doing what you're about to do. The show's a disaster. Your jokes are tasteless and inappropriate, and everyone ends up hating you.
So then they go on for another, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes with that banter.
Was Mr. Shatner drunk?
I don't know.
I think he was having fun.
I don't know.
He was certainly sweaty. I'm just asking.
Yes, I'm not positive. So Seth MacFarlane at one point says, what is it that I do that ruins the show? And Captain Kirk supposedly has a tape from the future, and he shows him a song that he performs, which was We Saw Your Boobs,
which is funny.
My new favorite song.
We saw your boobs. We saw your boobs. In the movie that we saw your boobs. Meryl Streep, we saw your boobs in Silkwood. Naomi Watts in Mulholland Drive. Angelina Jolie, we saw your boobs in Gia. They made us feel excited and alive. Anne Hathaway, we saw your boobs in Brokeback Mountain. Halle Berry, we saw them in Monsters Ball. Hillary Swank and Boys Don't Cry, Penelope Cruz and Vanilla Sky, and Kate Winslet in Heavenly Creatures and Jude, and Hamlet and Titanic, and Iris and Little Children, and The Reader, and whatever you're shooting right now, we saw your boobs.
See, so that's one of the songs that supposedly ruined it for him, but for me it was one of the funniest parts of the night.
I think it was the highlight of the night. Yeah. I think that was my favorite. I think that was the perfect melding of Seth MacFarlane, who they mostly hired because he's a singer, by the way, we've been told.
Right, right.
And his sense of humor. And I thought it was fun and it was classy. Even though it was about boobs, I still thought it was in good fun. And I really enjoyed that moment very much.
There was a great moment where one of the guys that was giving an acceptance speech, I think it was visual effects or something, got played off. And they used the Jaws theme to play him off. Which I found sort of funny.
Yeah, if you
the first time.
It.
The first time, right.
And then the 80 other times that he did it throughout the night, it started to get a
but
bit
But this is the only guy that actually got his microphone cut off at a pretty important part.
To my family, for all the sacrifices they made, Gabrielle, I love you so much. To my children, Christopher, Thomas, Alexander, and Samantha, thank you for inspiring me every day. For my mom and dad, thank you for telling me I could do any crazy career choice I wanted. Finally, I want to thank all the artists who worked on this film for over a year, including Rhythm and Hughes. Sadly, Rhythm and Hughes is suffering severe financial difficulties right now. I urge you all to remember.
And the orchestra just gets louder and louder and louder.
Aww. Right at the part where he's saying, sadly, they're really on hard times, and I urge you all
to remember.
What are you urging us? They cut off your microphone.
Awful.
And by the way, Kevin, you talked about how the Oscars are bad in general. A, we don't care about 80% of the awards. B, we don't care about anyone. No matter how big a star you are, reading a list of names on television.
It is
always death. And almost every star does it. Almost every one of them gets up there and reads a goddamn list of names.
Two more clips from last night. One is a Seth MacFarlane joke that I thought was the funniest of the night.
You know, this is interesting. Daniel Day-Lewis, not the first actor to be nominated for playing Lincoln. Raymond Massey portrayed him in 1940's Abe Lincoln in Illinois. This is true. I would argue, however, that the actor who really got inside Lincoln's head was John Wilkes Booth. Really, 150 years and it's still too soon, huh?
That was a funny joke. I'm sorry. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, there have been so many Booth and Lincoln jokes over the past few months, but that was fine. It was fine.
All right. And finally, because we are running out of time, there are other highlights, but finally, I do have to talk about Kristen Stewart.
Oh, please.
Please.
Let's.
Dear God, do I hate her.
She is being forced at gunpoint, apparently, to do anything having to do with Hollywood, right?
We're not demanding
she
go
there.
We don't care.
We would rather she's not there.
Yeah, we're fine with that.
So she limps out to the microphone with Daniel Radcliffe, and they're supposed to, you know, read back and forth. She's supposed to read first, then he's supposed to read. Listen to the effort that she puts into her part of it at the very beginning of this.
Our next award honors those who give a film its visual concept and design.
Our next award.
What is that?
Has she ever spoken into a microphone before? Does she not know how it works to present on a show?
Our next award honors those who give a film its visual concept and design.
All right, so now I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe she's just nervous. Try to give her the benefit of the doubt. Daniel Radcliffe steps up.
We hear she's very shy.
Yeah, yeah. Daniel Radcliffe steps up and tries to give it some energy.
These artists whose work you're about to see created the remarkable and unique look of Middle-earth, of a man and tiger lost at sea, and of 19th century Russia, Paris, and the American Civil War.
All right, now, I left this in real time just so that you could hear how long it took her to get back to the microphone and then wow us with her talent. This is the end of Daniel Radcliffe and then the actual amount of time before she spoke again.
And of 19th century Russia, Paris, and the American Civil War.
Here are the nominees for Achievement in Production Design.
I like that she also cleared her throat while he was speaking.
Here are the nominees for Production Design.
She's just trying to get through it as fast as possible and just get off the stage and forget trying to be entertaining or even competent.
But she's fake it.
I know. And then they
this is
her.
Hollywood. Fake it. You're supposedly an actress. Would it kill you to fake being happy as an actress? Play a role of an actor who's happy to be at the Academy Awards for your 5 seconds up there. Would it kill you?
It is weird that she's better at playing. Is she a vampire in those movies, Lisa?
Yes.
Well, she's better at playing a vampire than she is at playing a human being.
Unbelievable.
That's what's weird. And when she stepped out on stage, it was almost like you were watching that actress that we have on from time to time who does the videos, the Kristen Stewart videos, because she walked out on stage with her hand in her hair.
Yes.
Just like that actress does when she's making fun of her as she's always playing with her hair. The real Kristen Stewart does that.
I was reading a tweet last night and the guy said, how unbelievably high is Kristen Stewart?
That is possible.
And I thought, you know what? I don't know. There's no way of telling for sure. But if I had to guess, I would say all high.
Yeah, that's a maybe really so. Good guess.
Either maybe that so. Or she needs to be put down. One or the other.
Well, that's a little extreme. I don't think we need to put her.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Ralph Garman is out for a couple days making a TV Western, he tells us. Can't wait to hear all about that when he gets back. In the meantime, we are filling in for the Showbiz Beat. Hey, before we move on from the Academy Awards, Kevin, because we were just talking about that show.
Yes.
You didn't mention the 85 musical numbers on the
program last night.
I
had a very special tribute planned for that, but I didn't have time.
Yeah.
Because we were running so late, and I had to get to Kristen Stewart.
What'd you think of?
Oh my dear God in heaven!
Adele's performance.
She was flat. She was flat. I don't mean note wise. She was just no energy. She was barely there.
It wasn't just her. I swear, on my TV, they kept turning her down.
Did they?
That was my feeling.
The volume
wasn't loud enough? Sounded amazing, and then when other people started joining in, it's like her voice disappeared. I thought that they were. I think that their sound mixing was terrible.
Oh, I don't know. It could be.
Jennifer Hudson. What'd you think of her?
I thought she was amazing.
She's the best.
Because I thought that was way overproduced, and she was screechy, to tell you the truth,
compared
to other times I've seen her do.
Whoever was before her sucked so bad that, you know, she was
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, she was
lip-syncing.
That was boring.
That was lip-syncing, too.
Yeah, that was awful.
And one more, and then I'll let you
know. Why were they doing that? What was happening with all that jazz? Is it up or something?
Because the producers of the Oscars last night produced Chicago.
Oh, dear God.
They want to move some DVDs. So they said, hey, let's waste a bunch of airtime on this year's Oscars. Talking about a movie from 10 years ago. Now, and let me ask you one more. Let me ask you about the super boring James Bond tribute montage, which was terrible. But let me ask you about Shirley Bassey coming out and singing Goldfinger. What did you think of that?
It was cool, but she can't really sing much anymore.
Yeah, and she's a billion years old.
She's 76, you guys.
Wow.
That's impressive for a 76-year-old.
For 76,
and
it was pretty impressive.
My line is not what's impressive for a 76-year-old. When I'm watching TV, I don't go, I've got to find something that's really good for a 76-year-old.
Yeah.
I want entertainment.
Yeah. All right, we ate up all your time, but here's Omar
One more last thing on the Oscars is: can we stop with the "Who are you wearing?" question?
Oh no, that's the most important question.
Can we stop it? Does anybody really give an F?
I don't know who gives an F. I really don't.
No, they have to do that because they're lent those dresses, so they have to get the name out.
I think it's one of these old school things that people might have had to done that in the past, but it's so stupid. Stop it.
I don't know.
Is what I'm saying.
I think we might just be the wrong audience for that. I think there is a big audience that loves
that fashion. The Oscars are the Super Bowl for people who are into fashion. That's like the biggest and best event of the whole year for people.
It's terrible. Terrible.
I can't end it either.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you guys.
All right, let's check in. Top 10 at the box office. Number one, Identity Thief came in. Number two, with The Rock, Snitch. Escape from Planet Earth was number three. Safe Haven, number four. A Good Day to Die Hard, only number five. That was surprising.
Yeah, yes.
That'd be higher in the top 10. Number six, Dark Skies. Number seven, Silver Linings Playbook. Did you guys see when Jennifer Lawrence fell? That was pretty funny.
She fell. She took a header. She was climbing up the steps and took a header. That was awesome.
But when she came up on stage, she just made a crack about it. It was hilarious.
She handled it perfectly.
Awesome. Great.
Who's the opposite of Kristen Stewart?
Jennifer
Lawrence. That's correct.
Absolutely. Number eight, Warm Bodies. Number nine, Side Effects. And number 10, Beautiful Creatures. That is your top 10 at the box office. Everybody's talking about the Oscars, but nobody's really covering the real big story. Somebody reportedly unloaded in one of the bathrooms at the Oscars and flooded the entire lobby. LA City fire officials did not know the nature of the leak, but it is reported someone on the scene that a toilet triggered it.
Was Psycho Mike there?
I don't know, but reportedly, right before the toilet leaked, Adele was spotted walking out.
leave it to Omar, by the way, to find a poop angle on the Oscars.
Although, having said that, that's a pretty huge deal at the Oscars. Yeah.
If you go to TMZ.com, they show like the janitorial workers trying to like, you know, sweep up all the poo water. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Over the weekend, Octomom got a visit by Child Protective Services and the sheriffs, and they found weed cookies.
Weed cookies?
Weed cookies. Yeah. So the Octomom likes to get high. But according to TMZ, and we have the voicemail that we'll play right here, the Octomom has the legal marijuana card. So it was all cool in the gang. Here's the Octomom talking about it.
I told them the truth. I got my medical marijuana card. I don't smoke because it's disgusting. Disgusting. And I did say in the past I had tried it. It's sick. But once in a while, in the past, I have had a cookie.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you have your card. You have your medical marijuana card.
If you're Child Protective Services, aren't you doing everything in your power to take those kids away from her?
I am from a long time ago.
Right?
Yeah, she
did. Right?
Yeah.
With all those kids?
It's unreal. I would have monitoring 24/7. I'm assuming probably Child Protective Services visits her at least once a week, right?
They are there a lot.
You know that she's breaking up those cookies. And by you know, I mean this is alleged.
Yes.
She's breaking up those cookies and helping the kids.
Yeah, exactly. Here you go.
The kids are all screaming. Here, everybody, have a cookie.
Yeah, that's terrible. Madonna's in the news. She just opened her Instagram account, and the 50-year-old singer has received a warning from the company. They're telling her to adhere to the community guidelines, which bans photos like nudity or stuff that's in a mature content. But I went on Madonna's Instagram. It's just pictures of cleavage.
All right.
Yeah. Come on, Instagram.
It's pretty tame.
It is. It's way tame. It's not like, you know, I mean, shot beer shots or anything.
Is it just her cleavage?
It's just her cleavage. And it's not even sexy cleavage.
Oh.
It's Madonna 50-year-old yoga master cleavage.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
In workout clothes.
In workout clothes. It's like sweaty boobs. It's nasty.
Maybe, but that doesn't seem like she should be reprimanded.
Yeah, exactly. So Instagram, just take a chill pill. But my idea is we need to develop a nudogram. How awesome would that be?
Nudegram?
Nudegram, get like Kate Upton on there.
Yeah, it depends.
Lisa
on
May.
It,
you know?
It depends on who's
I'm
on there.
Already.
Omar.
Yeah.
It depends.
That is true.
We don't want everyone on there.
I'll be on there. My sexy
we
boobs.
Don't.
Are you kidding?
You don't have to tell us.
Kanye West was in London during the show, and classic Kanye was just talking crap about everybody.
Sure.
Talking crap about Jay-Z and Justin Timberlake.
Really?
New song. Yeah, they have this new song called, what's it called? Being the
suit and tie?
White? Suit and tie. Yeah, it's a okay song. It's not great, but he was talking crap about it. And the funniest thing is that Kanye hates the Grammys. So this is what he says.
Remind me again while we in this
It was just it.
Remind me again why the Grammys still suck my
Really, dude? Really? God, what a you know, Kanye, I love his music,
I
but what
too.
An ass.
Oh, he's been
but,
an ass.
By the way, I think I could be wrong, but I think Kanye's won like 20 Grammys or something ridiculous. He's got a crazy amount of Grammys, yet all he does is bitch about the ones he doesn't.
Because he should have 100 more, Bean. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that about Kanye.
What a douchebag. That guy's going to be a dad. I know I'm a dad, but that guy's going to be a dad.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
With Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Terrible.
The kid doesn't stand a
You're
chance.
Shaky as hell, but,
yeah,
but Kanye
exactly.
is
yeah,
out of
sure.
his mind.
But he's got a decent wife.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right, celebrity birthdays. Former talk show host Sally Jesse Raphael is 78. Is she hot, Bean?
No, not anymore.
Nope, oh. never was.
Really? Okay. Brian,
she was attractive about 50 years ago.
Yep.
Brian Baker from Bad Religion's 48. Taya Leone is 47. Nancy O'Dell, she's horrible on Entertainment Tonight. She's 47. Comedian Carrot Top is 46. Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings is 42. Comedian, talk show host, and actress Chelsea Handler, Ralph's favorite, is 38. And Kevin, stop talking trash about her, man.
About
Chelsea Handler.
You
talk too much trash.
You know, it's funny. I do get blamed for that, but I'm willing to take it.
Absolutely.
I'm proud to take that stance, even though I'm not the one who said it.
And lastly, the lovely Rashida Jones from The Office and Parks and Rec is 37. That's Ralph Chubb's.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. Congratulations to Anthony Gonzalez from Downey. Anthony Gonzalez from Downey is our grand prize winner for K-Rock's World Tour 2013, destination number 6, which is a chance to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Mexico City.
Oh,
wait a second.
Amazing.
Hold on a second here. What's the winner's name?
Anthony Gonzalez.
Where are we sending him?
Mexico City.
Fixed.
Fixed. Hells yeah.
Destination number 7 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013, by the way, is fun, period, in London, England. We'll give you a chance to qualify that at 9:10 this morning here on K-Rock. Last week, Chris Hardwick talks Walking Dead later this hour, Larry King next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Last week, we had our friend Joe Rogan in, hilarious comedian and one of the ringside announcers for the UFC. And we were talking about the UFC 157, which was down in Anaheim this weekend. And I was talking about how the UFC is finally adding women, even though Dana said they never would. Because Ronda Rousey is such an unbelievable fighter, they invited her to be in the UFC, and they got this whole division now of girls fighting in the UFC. And I told Rogan, I said, I don't know how comfortable I am watching girls hit each other. And he said, and I think he's right, you just have to get over that. They're, adults who want to do it and have every right to compete as athletes. For God's sakes, Ronda Rousey competed in the Olympics. I mean, this is what she loves and is what she wants to do. Who am I to say she shouldn't? And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's hard to watch sometimes girls fight. There's something that just – it's ingrained in most guys, Chris Brown accepted, that you don't want to see girls get hurt, right? So I get the fight on Saturday night, and I know you did too, Kevin.
I did, yes.
And it was a great fight. I mean, it especially coming off of that horrible Mashita Henderson fight, by the way, which couldn't have been more boring. Ronda Rousey gets out there with Liz Caramouche, and it's, another first-round armbar, and Ronda wins and everything. But there was so much excitement packed in that 3 minutes. But at one point, Ronda's on top of Liz and is just pounding her in the face for, am I lying if I said, 2 solid minutes. She's just one right after another, just boom, right in the face. Boom, right in the face.
Man. It was a lot. Yeah.
And I was
tough to watch.
I mean, look, I know that this is what they signed up for, and it's voluntary, and they want to do it, and they are allowed to, but it was hard to watch.
Even when Liz had her in the standing rear naked chokehold position, which should be sexy,
right?
Somehow wasn't.
They were naked?
She basically was turning Ronda Rousey's head around like an owl.
I thought
either her head is going to pop off or she's going to have to tap. This is crazy. This other girl's going to win. And then it didn't happen, of course. And Ronda Rousey got an armbar, which that's a surprise, surprise. But she's an amazing fighter.
Yeah.
She is an amazing fighter. And by the way, the one thing that we were hoping for when we all got the pay-per-view is that there was going to be some sort of wardrobe malfunction. Unfortunately, it didn't happen this time, but it was kind of close.
I mean, look,
Ronda was the only fighter that night who had to keep pulling her top down, you know, start worrying about what was happening with her top, which I thought was hilarious. But girls, how often do girls hit each other in the face, Lisa? How often does that, like, guys are kind of known for settling their disagreements. Let's take this outside of this bar and decide who's manly by fighting. How often do girls do that?
Oh, you mean when we're just like in a bar fight? Like,
yeah.
I do every weekend?
Uh-huh.
You know, mostly we don't. We pull hair and kind of smack each other, but we don't really
punch each other in the face
very often. Yeah.
No, we need to talk to our listeners, girls. When was the last time you got in a fight? A fight. Not a push, not a full argument, a fight.
You're rolling around.
When was the last time you had a full-on fight with another
and
girl?
Why? And what caused it? And we're talking about girl fights only here, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We want girls fighting girls. If you, in the last, you know, 6 months, if you hit somebody in the face, ladies, I want to hear about it.
Unless it's a guy.
Right. If you hit another girl in the face, I want to know what the circumstances were that led you guys to fighting with your fists instead of just writing snarky comments on each other's Facebook page, which is how I imagine all girls settle disagreements.
Which is how Beam does it.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number. We're looking for girls. Hey, do we have time to play a little piece of this tape? Speaking of girl fights, by the way, here's a perfect example of why you don't want girls fighting. There's this local story out of Pacific Palisades. I think we've got the tape that talks about how this coach had two cheerleaders settle a disagreement over a boy by taking it outside.
This young woman tells us she is not a fighter. She's never been in a fist fight in her life. In fact, she felt she was being bullied by some of the teammates on her cheerleading squad. Instead of stepping in, though, to make peace, she says her coach forced the girls to duke it out, leaving her with scratches and a black eye.
This is what's fascinating to me, though. In that particular case, that's the girl that was getting bullied, and the coach had her fight the bullier.
Yeah.
Which is, as far as I understand, that's what happened, which
sounds
is
pretty twisted.
Isn't that the opposite of what you want the coach to do?
Yes.
That's the opposite of it. You're supposed to be the adult coach.
Right.
You're not supposed to be the one who turns it into a fight.
So you take a bullying situation and make it worse by turning it into an all-out brawl.
And by the way, hasn't anyone learned the first rule of cheerleading fight club is not to talk about cheerleading fight club? Why are these people talking to the media?
I didn't think you were going to get through it.
I'd also like to complain about that. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Ladies only, the last time you got into a fist fight, you hit each other in the face, you and another girl. We can't wait to hear your stories. That's coming up next year on the World Famous K-Rock.
Saturday night, I had a conflicted boner.
Who, by the way, are playing Coachella and are excellent. I recommend you see them.
Because Ronda Rousey was fighting in the USC.
And she was fighting a lesbian, by the way, which is like the best of all possible worlds.
And the lesbian crawled on top of her. And so then I was like, yes. But then I thought, wait, this is wrong because women are fighting. But then,
and somebody's going to get hurt.
But it looks like her top's going to get pulled off. Yes. But this is bad.
I don't know.
It's very conflicted.
Now she's hitting the other one in the face. And that's no good.
Right. Stop hitting her in the face. She doesn't know her face is messed up enough.
That's what I thought. Come on. I think the point is that girl fights ought to be hot, but they really aren't. Let's take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. From ladies only, the last time you got into a fight with another woman. Christine gets us started. She is on line 3 here at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Christine. Thanks a lot for calling, my dear.
Hi.
When was the last time you got in a fight?
It was a few years back. It was at a work event. Well, it was at an open bar work event.
Yep, that's the important part. Go ahead.
And one of my coworkers, she was just crazy drunk, and she said that, well, my husband, he was my boyfriend back then, that he called her a bitch.
Right.
And he's like, I didn't call her that. So it was big old stupid drama. And so I said, you know what, let's just go. It was 2 a.m. And he says, all of a sudden, he says, let's go, let's go. He started running, like pulling me away from the bar. So we got outside, and a whole crowd of people followed us, and he and her husband got into it. And so she was screaming at him while they were fighting, and she jumps on top of him when he was on top of her husband. And so I go, you can't do that. So I grabbed her, and we just got into a fight right there.
Two couples.
Oh, my God. You sound so reasonable. It's crazy this happened.
So it turned into just a brawl just with everybody. It was like a Raiders parking lot.
Well, no, it was just me and her and then my husband and my boyfriend at the time.
And what did you think, like, afterwards? Did you think, in a million years, I never thought when I woke up today that a girl would be trying to hit me in the face?
Oh, I didn't. It just happened so fast. Everyone says that, yeah, but it did happen so fast. I didn't even know I got cut in my under my eye, and, like,
sweet.
I grabbed a bunch of her extensions, and her boobs flew out.
Jerry! All right. Thank you, Christy.
You lead with that part next time.
Seriously. Cut out all the drama. Let's go to Jenny. Jenny is on line 7. This is best case scenario, Kevin. She's in Las Vegas at a club and a fight breaks out.
All
Jenny,
right.
Girl fight. Make it hot.
I think what Bean means is what happened.
I was in Vegas trying at a club with my girlfriends, and we were trying to get back to the front, me and my girlfriend. And a girl just grabbed her and was like, you can't go up there. You can't. What are you doing? You know, with some choice words. As I see her grab my friend, the next thing I did is I turn around. The first reaction was to deck the girl in the face.
Yeah, all right.
So then the girl just, she went to hit me, and she clocked me in my face. So I got her back, but I hit her so hard that she slipped. Then she was down on the ground. I went to go after her. My girlfriend pulled me off of me because security was coming towards us.
Plus, she was already dead.
So. Jenny, what are you wearing? You're at a club in Las Vegas. Are you in a dress trying to have a fist fight?
Oh, yeah. I was in 6-inch heels, and I was in a sparkly tight dress.
All right.
That's fantastic.
That's how I like to fight. That's awesome. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Sophia, shall we, on line 1. I think we can squeeze in one more. Hi, Sophia. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning, party people. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
How'd you get in a fight?
So the story is that I was with someone for quite a while, and we had a daughter together, and then we split up because he got to some girlfriend. And as I got married, I guess she got more and more jealous of the life that I now had.
Yes.
And they wouldn't have kids or whatever. So she was just always constantly blowing up my phone, all these hater messages.
All right, but let's get to the fight part.
So the Thanksgiving comes, and she spends all day blowing up my phone. I told my husband when they drop my daughter off, I think I'm going to get in a fight.
You were looking forward to it.
Wait, your husband's response was what?
And my husband was like, okay. And
so okay.
They pull up to the apartment, and we get out and walk to the car, and I open the car door, and my husband's standing right there, and she gets out. And I just popped her in the face over and over and over. And my husband's in the street like, yeah, that's right. That's what you get. You're doing a dysfunctional world.
Jerry. Larry King joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll talk to TV critic for the Los Angeles Times, Mary McNamara, with another recap of last night's Oscars. It was a very busy night on my TV last night, Kevin, because I'm watching the Oscars. And then, of course, I'm also trying to watch The Walking Dead and The Talking Dead while the Oscars are going on.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of flipping around. I'm very confused, but I think Chris Hardwick won Best Actress. I'm pretty sure. If I'm not confused, I think congratulations on your Academy Award, Chris.
Thank you. My dress was a little complicated, so it was hard getting up to accept the award. But
you did fall face first on those steps, if I recall.
Yeah, but it was sort of. I had a good recovery.
Yes,
I feel
you
like
did.
I had a good recovery. Yeah. Yes.
So was it weird for you to be working last night during the Academy Awards and not kind of able to watch it because you had your own thing going on?
Well, the same thing happened last year, and I mean, you know, the truth of the matter is, I'm a very, even when I do watch the Oscars, I'm a very casual Oscar watcher.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, there's that award, and then I'm on the computer playing a video game or something,
right.
And then I'll check in every once in a while. But
that's like, the only way to handle it. I found out last night because I had to bring in clips today of the show. I hadn't watched every second. It's deadly.
I didn't see the whole show. Was it
deadly?
Good? Did you like it?
It's still on, Chris. Chris, you can still catch the last 40% of it, I think. It's still on.
Oh, good. They're still coming out of the Effects Awards right now.
Deadly.
Well, let's talk about your show, Talking Dead, before we get into last night's episode.
Spoiler alert. Should we give everybody a spoiler alert?
Not yet. We're not
okay.
there yet.
All right.
I saw you tweet this out. The Talking Dead, which is your show about The Walking Dead that airs immediately after on AMC, is a huge hit. It was number 21 for all television last week, correct?
Yeah, that's true. That's new to me. I've been working in television a long time, and I've never had four. I don't think I've ever had 4 million people total.
Yeah.
Everything that I've done together. But the show's pulling in like 4 million. It's crazy. So that's just a testament to what a great show The Walking Dead is.
No kidding.
Siphon off that.
Well, Kevin and I just want you to know this would be a good time to announce it. Is that we're starting a show called Talking Dead, and it's going to just be about your show, and it's going to air after your show on Sunday nights.
It's sort of what we've been doing for the last
but our show's
right?
got to review only your show.
we'll talk about that. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so okay. What we'll do is I'll talk about Walking Dead with you guys, and then I'll call in again next hour, and then we'll talk about Talking Dead.
Right. What did you think about
Talking Dead last night, Chris?
All right, give me the spoiler alert, would you, Kevin?
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Now, this is interesting because for the first time because of the Oscars, Kevin didn't see the show last night, Chris, so it's just you and me ruining it for him. What were your overall thoughts on the Andrea-centered episode we saw last night?
Well, I feel bad for her. She's torn in between these two groups, and she's, you know, she almost has this La Femme Nikita moment, and then in the last minute doesn't. I think one of my favorite parts of the episode last night was, and then huge spoiler alert, is basically Carol, who just flat out says, like, you ride that guy into tomorrow and then you effing kill him. And it was like, whoa, you know, just basically what she was telling Andrew to do very coldly and flatly, but very matter of fact. I actually think Carol is pretty good. Like, she could be a leader at some
point.
Yeah,
she's pretty badass. She's badass. So, Kevin, so she says to Andrea, look, when you get back to Woodbury, give the governor the best sex of his life, and then when he's in that post-coital coma,
wow,
kill him.
Wow. Yeah.
Take care of our problem. Eliminate all of our problems at once. But here's my question. Andrea's doing the best she can to broker peace between these two groups, but knowing what we know about the governor and how vengeful he is, and knowing that Rick is the same way and is crazy, I don't think that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton could put these two together. I mean, they just refuse to ever be on the same side, right?
Do you think that was advice like Margaret Thatcher gave to Hillary one time?
Probably.
He'd be the best sex he's ever had, and then you murder him.
And then kill him.
But, I mean, don't you think that Rick and the governor are not going to be satisfied until the other is dead? There's no way they ever play nice with each other, right?
Oh, no. At this point, it's way over. And Rick is so almost out of control that he had Herschel yelling at him. He had his own son saying, like, you should probably not be leader anymore because you're not doing anyone any favors. And so he's just his fatal mistake with Tyrese and the group has now inadvertently turned them, like, now they're against him.
Now against him.
So,
exactly.
So everything's all messed up. And Andrea's basically slept with people in both groups. But
good for her.
That's what I said. For her. Come on now.
Chris, you're kind of the keeper of the history on this show. You are able to keep a lot more straight than I can over multiple seasons with multiple characters. How long had Andrea been away from the group to not know about all the people who have died and about the baby being born and about Herschel losing his leg? I mean, has she been gone for years? Because I can't tell episode to episode how much time has gone by.
It wasn't years, but I think what we figured out
was 6 months.
6 months, yeah. It was like six or eight months. And so she and Michonne, and then she has that moment with Michonne where Michonne is like, how could you choose a comfortable bed over a friend? You know, like there was that. It's like the first time you kind of see Michonne get a little emotional. And
yeah.
So Andrea really was kind of the linchpin of the episode last night, just trying to keep, this poor woman can't keep everybody happy.
She's the Walking Dead slut.
I'm not going to say that.
She's a healthy woman with healthy needs.
Right. That's what I meant.
That is not the case. I don't think it is. Listen, she only slept with two guys. That doesn't make her.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
She's she's smart. Like she ends up with like the powerful one in each group. She was the most powerful character in before.
That's true.
And now she's with the governor and. Certainly, she's very human because she could have just killed him, but she couldn't. So,
that's right.
Is that how it was left? Because I didn't watch. It was left that she couldn't kill him?
It was a really cool scene. Basically, the last, you know, she wakes, she's in bed with him. She's, of course, awake. He's sleeping very peacefully. And then she kind of gets out of bed naked, and she just pulls out this, like, dagger. And she just slowly goes, huge spoiler alert, she goes over to the governor, and then you're like, just do it. Would you just do it? And then at the last minute, she just walks away. And she could easily, like, it could have been over like that. But then, yeah. But then no more series.
Right.
I thought the governor has to explode.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I thought it was a great episode. And here's what's beautiful about The Walking Dead is that it works on so many different kinds of storytelling. I mean, there are some episodes that are just action-packed from minute one. And this was not that. This was more of a slow build. This was more of a setup. This was like, to use the old movie analogy of High Noon, it's like 5 minutes till 12, and we know that the showdown is coming, but we're not there yet, but the pieces are in place. Didn't you kind of get that feeling, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that little scene with Andrea at the end totally just drew, she did such a great job, but it totally just drew out the energy of the whole show, where you're just like, oh my God, just do it. Oh, do it. Oh no, not yet. And like the building up the anticipation. And the song, the show ends with Beth singing the Tom Waits song, which is such a cool way to end the episode.
It was a brilliant piece of television. It really was. And I kept thinking, especially since I was not enjoying the Academy Awards, when I flipped over, it was like, it was just like relief. You know what I mean? To see something so entertaining instead of what I've been watching. It was great. And you had great guests last night, too. You had the guy from 30 Rock and then Retta, of course. Yeah, and then Retta, of course, from Parks and Rec, who's hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Really fun episode, but I didn't get around to stick around until the very end. Who was your special guest from The Walking Dead that joined you, Chris?
It was Emily Kinney, who plays Beth. Nice. Yeah, and she's great, and she has a band. I think she's playing at the Hotel Cafe in a couple days. Like, she's really, really cool. And it was a fun episode.
Sounds like you guys had a lot of fun last night.
I didn't see the Oscars, but I, after I got back from Talking Dead, I was having some food and watching The Post, like the news show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like ABC or something, and then they and even their correspondent was like, well, it was a long show, but yeah.
Well, you did the right thing by missing it, and the best part about Sunday nights is the 1-2 punch of The Walking Dead and then The Talking Dead on AMC. Seriously, you're doing a great job with it, Chris, and we thank you so much for joining us again this week on the Kevin DeVine Show.
Thank you, man.
Michael Dwight Catherwood, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, from K-Rock's Loveline, joins us in studio here on the Kevin DeVine Show. How are you, buddy?
Oh, you know, I'm just living the dream, Bean.
Not well, in other words. Being on the radio till midnight and getting up and being back home before 8 a.m., that's living the dream?
Yeah, it's good. It's good times. It's always nice to be back here, though, actually.
Oh, you can't understand how much we miss you, Mike. You can't. There's no way you can know how much we. Please come back.
I miss you guys too. I mean, when you leave this show and you get told you're going to be a host of your own show,
yes,
alongside the beautiful pewter frosted deity of truth that is Dr. Drew, you feel like, okay, well, I'm going to transfer into something that will be fulfilling and I will love, and it is fulfilling in many ways. But there is a certain camaraderie, there's a certain kind of family environment that comes with being on a morning show, especially one like this with all these beautiful people that I love so much, that you miss, and you can't scratch that itch with being the host of your own show, especially when it's a show where people consistently call with high volume of stories about rape and being touched.
Yeah. Loveline can be a bummer, that's for sure.
But there is a, for every rape and molestation call, it's like every third one you get a boner call.
Glad for you.
It's good for you.
Yeah, it's good time.
Well,
yeah.
Mike is here because he is Ralph Garman's out filming a TV show for a couple of days. It's a Western, by the way, he told us. He's very excited. He's playing a marshal. He's shooting a gun and riding a horse and the whole deal. So he'll be back later in the week. But in the meantime,
can you see that?
I'm just imagining Ralph in his leather half trench. That's like a Shylock from East Philly just on top of a horse.
He'll keep that same jacket that he's gotten. He'll just go work around it.
Yeah. That's so funny to me. People who know nothing of fashion, they tweet me because I am one who is prone to wearing the leather jacket. In fact, it's part of my new uniform.
Oh, is that right?
And but I wear like a motorcycle jacket, and people are like, Ralph Garman called, wants his jacket back. And you're like, no, I'm not wearing a leather blazer.
Well, I don't know about the jacket, but you are filling in for him this hour on the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Michael?
Speaking of black leather.
Yes.
And I'm not going to German porn here, Lisa.
How, where are you going with that?
Not surprising.
Trent Reznor announces the return
of Nine Inch Nails.
Is that right?
And extensive touring 2013 and 2014.
Love it. One of my favorite bands. But he's one of those guys that goes through that series of, he goes in, he makes an album, then he tours too much, hates it beyond words, quits.
Claims he'll never do Nine Inch Nails again.
And usually takes 7, 8, 9 years off in between.
You're saying that Trent Reznor is a very talented, hardworking guy who's prone to impulsive behavior?
Correct.
Almost like someone who would be an addict?
Right, but this time he came back really soon if he's coming back.
Yeah. According to Trent, which is a bold-faced lie, if I recall. I mean, working for K-Rock, you kind of are on the, you got your finger on the pulse of rock and roll music. He says that Nine Inch Nails was never over, and I quote, wasn't for over forever, just changing focus. No, I remember like 5, 6 years ago, he's like, I'm never going to do Nine Inch Nails music again.
Yeah, he said that a lot.
Guys, I got an exclusive for you here, because with this announcement of Nine Inch Nails getting back together, they have leaked just a tiny segment of a brand new Nine Inch Nails song. If you want to hear some of what their new direction is,
amazing.
Nine Inch Nails, a world exclusive here on K-Rock.
We saw your boobs. We saw your boobs.
Wait a minute.
In the movie that we saw your boobs.
Hold on, stop. Being, you know, a funny joke. Kevin, you really have the clip, okay?
I do have the clip.
Balls, 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 balls.
He's holding him. That's why he can say it that high.
All right, that's funny and all, but the real Nine Inch Nails song goes something like this.
It's breakfast time. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. It's breakfast time.
I like it. I like where he's headed with that.
But that's a joke. That's all funny and everything. But I got an actual clip of new Nine Inch Nails music.
You're the head on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost.
It's like Trent had a stroke or something. I don't know.
Marcus Mumford of Mumford & Son says that he wants to rap.
Oh, what? Excuse me? Yes, please. I want every artist to try and rap.
Wait, he just won the freaking album of the year at the Grammys with his banjo music. Why does he want to now rap?
We really want to rap. We've just got so much to say. Saying it through a melody doesn't really work for me. We've been talking with Jay-Z about it, you know.
Yes.
It's going to be a fresh experience for our band.
He's kidding. He's making a funny, right?
Gotta be.
He's having a laugh.
Please tell me it's true.
Well, I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, I'm reading these quotes. This is really
right,
from him.
Right.
Whether he's having a laugh or in the parlance of his given country or not, I think we can maybe find some clips.
Oh, and I have one. I have one actually right here. Brand new Mumford & Sons. This is him with new direction for the band.
Polly and her red shirt.
Wow. That's not rap.
Polly.
Completely different than what they were doing
before.
That's
not rap. This is rap.
I got a cigular bitch and it's in my fast lane. Because when I'm not reading traffic, I'm selling cocaine because I'm a hustler. There it is. All
right. My God. Marcus Mumford needs to hire you, Lisa.
Surprised someone hasn't.
I got a cigular bitch and it's in my fast lane. Oh, my God.
That's the best rap ever.
It might be. I love how, and by the way, I love when Lisa gets gangsta.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you in radio world who don't get a chance to see, Lisa May, when she gets gangster, just scrunches up her lips. Because that's her tough face. It's almost like Kobe's tough face.
It's Kobe's tough face,
yeah. I'm going to make my lips close together.
What does she mean?
Like I'm the guy, Damian Lewis from Homeland. I make my mouth really small because that makes me look tougher. I'm Lisa May.
Celebrity birthdays. This is maybe the weirdest cornucopia of birthdays you could ask for.
Okay.
So let's start with Sally Jesse Raphael, who is 78.
Is she really?
Yeah, she is.
Okay, got to say, you know.
Nope.
She ain't Jennifer Lawrence, but for 78, Sally Jesse Raphael holds up pretty good.
Yeah. Nope.
Kurt Rambis, 55 years old. Laker legend, a man who made goggles almost look cool.
Not quite.
Not really. Brian Baker from Bad Religion, 48. One of the 84 members of Bad Religion. Taya Leone, great legs on that woman.
She 40, needs to work more.
47 years old. I do agree, Lisa May. Nancy O'Dell, also 47 from Entertainment Tonight. That woman looks good.
Yep.
I've poked my head in those ET studios every once in a while. She looks
very
good.
Is that code?
Huh?
Is that code?
That sounds like a euphemism.
I'd like to poke my head in her. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that was a given when I said, is that code? That sort of was my joke.
Oh, you kind of went too fine a point on it, though, right?
I'd really love to have sex with her. So, do you get it? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Carrot Top.
Hot.
Listen, I like to spend some time in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Carrot Top, officially too buff.
I agree.
He's a monster freak.
He's a cartoon.
And he's 46. Sean Astin, he's Rudy. He was in Lord of the Rings, I guess. He's 42. And comedian and talk show host Chelsea Handler, Ralph, a huge fan,
loves
is
her.
A liar and saying she's 38.
Yeah.
I'm saying she's 48, if a day. Rashida Jones, 37, looking good. And Burt McCracken of The Used, 31 years old. Those are the Ralph Garman celebrity birthdays of the beat of something. No, so there was like this one Heimer, and then I met her because, like, I met her
Rudy,
with the,
Rudy,
the stands
on,
at the doctor game that one time.
Dude,
Lisa
hold on,
man,
Rudy, hang, she was hang on. Beer.
Huh?
Hang on.
We have some.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock for a Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Rudy Cisneros joins us from East L.A. Hi,
so,
Rudy. How are
hey,
you?
Oh, man.
What are you doing here?
You know, just like Pervin, I had a party last night, you know.
Oh, you
for,
did?
Like, como se dice, Oscars.
Yeah. Oh, you were watching the Oscars last night. That surprises me.
Like, so I'm just still buzzing, you know what I'm saying? And next thing I know, they're like ushering me in the studio, explaining stuff.
Did you enjoy the Oscars?
I always enjoy them,
you
dog.
Do?
Really?
You
because
watch
it
every
doesn't,
year?
Doesn't
I was
seem
so
like your
bored.
Kind of show.
Yeah.
I was so bored.
Like, it's not my kind of show, dog. Like, I hope, like, design them. I hope build the Oscars. Like, I hope, like, make it famous for real, though.
The Oscars?
The Oscars have been around for 80-something years, Rudy. What are you talking about?
No, it's... Let me... Hey, listen up, fool. Like, back in the day, like, 85, like, 84, something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Police Academy.
Okay.
Okay. With my homeboy, there was Puppet, Little Miklo, Maniac Number 3, and this one Hauser chick I used to meet back in the day. And their tagging crew, they used to call her Exotic, whatever, but like with three X's, Lisa May, because she was scandalous.
Exotic,
yeah,
right?
She was scandalous, like Muchacha Mala. Every once in a while, she'd come by, like all the homeboys run trains, whatever. You know that?
Okay.
So like
but
we're watching
okay.
Police Academy, fool.
Yes.
And then this one guy, his name, like I said, it was Sniper was there, but his name's Oscar, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like his real name, like his the name that like his mom's gave him, whatever. But I hear like his mom didn't even raise him. Scandalous. Like really, his sister gave birth. Like stupid.
Oh,
Mira, Jack Nicholson for real. But they were like too embarrassed because she was so young. So
right.
And it was like his mom's like crazy. I know she's an old school patuka.
What does this
back
have to do with the Oscars?
She had three dots up on her dome, you know?
Right, right. But okay. I feel like we're so, getting like, off track here.
So Oscar done watched this Police Academy with me for back in '84, and like, but he had some of the. Ludes, you know, like barbiturates.
Sure,
that's what the
right?
doctor calls them. You know, and we call them on the street. We just call them crazy. But,
okay.
But he was like, he ate too many of them, and he was smoking Yeska dog. But he was like a statue because he couldn't move his bones.
Right,
because he was all crazy loopy dog. You know, he ate them. So he was like a statue like this, and we were so we're like, look at the statue, dog. We're gonna give you the Oscar statue every year. And so we had to decide who was the best guy in Police Academy. So it was the Academy Awards, dog, because Oscar was frozen.
But so
and I'm like, stupid Tackleberry always got guns, dog. And then like Hightower was the big guy.
Okay, look, it's fascinating that you and your friends were watching Police Academy in the 80s, but the Oscars have been around since the 20s.
No,
you didn't start them. It didn't have anything to do with you, Rudy.
The Oscars, that's how the statue came about. But the awards where they celebrated, dog, it happened in the 20s because the original Pachucos, they used to bring in the liquor from Long Beach on the ships. But the Navy would fight them with guns and they blast them
what?
Back.
But what does that have to
and
do?
And this one fool, dog, his name was Flaco. He used to have a Tommy gun, you know, and he would ride that up in their dome, and the Marines and the Navies come down with the planes.
Rudy, what does
and
this have to do with the Academy Awards?
Because, listen, fool.
Sorry.
Okay, because it was on Lon Chaney's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame where this guy, Flaco, first met his Jaina Rosa, okay? And so, like, he was also in a movie where there was, like, a big fool, it was like Merlin Olsen or something, the guy who decorated the Citizen Kane fool.
What are you
talking about?
Orson Welles, dog,
you're
like Merlin Olsen.
Throwing a lot of names out here.
Okay. He
try to focus. He the Academy Awards started like in the 20s.
Okay.
No.
At Almani High School.
Right. Okay. Almani High School.
There was a school
gotcha.
Play. They okay. did a school play
okay.
of West Side Story, dog. But they were like really mad because in the movie, the West Side Story, there's a gang. And one of the highness is Puerto Rican, but it's really the actress fool in the movie. Mm-hmm. She was a güera. She was a white chick. So everybody's mad. They're like, we're going to do a walkout because like they don't represent no Latinas. And next thing you know, I heard this girl, Lisa, yeah. she had the curly hair, crazy crunchy crisp because she got it done down the streets, mm-hmm. right? And it looked like telephone cords because her hair was so crispy, and she got shanked in the neck. Next thing you know, dog, okay. R.I.P.
All right.
She's pushing up daisies.
Rudy.
You know what I'm saying?
What does that have to do with the Academy Awards?
Fool. In 1974,
okay, we're
the
out of
first
time.
Pair of Dickies got sold in the Santa Fe Spring Swap Meet.
Thank you, Rudy.
There
thank
came,
you.
They had a box of Cracker Jacks.
Inside
the box of Cracker Jacks is one guy, okay? I think they called him Pusher T. Right. He had like a ring inside, and it looked like a statue. And it's Oscar still on the couch, like Frankenstein, dog, because he can't move because he doesn't
Do you
want
to talk to Larry King with us?
Hey, dog, Larry King's dope, man. Remember when he fought Tyson?
I'm just kidding. We don't want you in here.
Kevin, you know how many countless times over the years we have asked each other, how is Larry King still alive, right? You know that conversation that we always have?
Sure.
Well, when I read that he woke up in intensive care in 1987 after a quintuple bypass heart surgery, I really started to marvel at the fact that this man is still alive and still going strong. He is currently the host of Larry King Now on Hulu and Aura.tv, and it's always a pleasure to welcome the great Larry King back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. King.
Oh, Kevin, Carol Bean, oh, so good to be with you. So nice on a glorious morning in L.A.
It certainly is. Hey, before we talk about your foundation thing, any thoughts on the Oscars last night? Did you and the family catch some of that last night, Larry?
I did. I thought it was terrific. I thought Seth MacFarlane was one of the best hosts ever. Maybe I'm not objective because he's a good friend, but I thought he's great. And I thought the show was well-paced. The L.A. Times didn't like it. I don't know what they were watching.
Well, we're going to find out. We're talking to their television critic, Mary McNamara, coming up right after we talk to you, Larry. So I guess we'll find out what was going on.
Tell Mary she's got a screw loose.
All right. All right. We'll do it.
You can quote me. And by the way, I have a comment on the Oscars. Ready?
Yes. Yes.
Everybody got a piece of the pie.
All right. And by that, you mean the awards were spread out. It wasn't one of those nights where one film wins 10 Oscars.
That's correct. And, of course, Life of Pi got three.
Ah,
got a piece of I'm too quick for you.
You're too quick for us.
We didn't know you were spelling that. We didn't know you were spelling that P-I.
Right. Hey, Larry, how do you, after all the years on television, now you're doing your internet interview show, which is great, by the way, and it looks just like a television show, and you still got the same A-level guests. I watch your program all the time on Hulu. How are you measuring the ratings on that? Is it breaking through on the internet the way you hoped it would when you started this endeavor last year?
I only know that Hulu tells me they're ecstatic about it. That supposed to be like 10,000 a week. We get more every week. It's grown ever since it started in July. It's the venture was started by Carlos Slim, who's the richest man in the world.
Right.
I thought I was going to retire, and he came to me and he said, "Why don't we do something together?" And he thinks the future is the internet. He thinks the internet will be everything within a couple of years. And he wanted to get in on kind of the ground floor, and so we formed the Larry King Now show for the Aura Network. We're adding other shows too.
But Larry,
I'm getting a kick out of it. I do about one interview a day, 4 days a week. We do it. It's a half hour instead of an hour. It's very relaxed. We have beautiful studios in Glendale.
I don't mean this
I'm going to New York this week. We're taping Arianna Huffington. We're doing shows under Donald Trump. We get top guests.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't mean to be insensitive, but there's got to come a point, Larry, where you go, I've put in my time. I've worked my whole life.
The people are interesting to me. I'm fascinated by asking questions. I have to keep active. You know, you mentioned I had a heart attack 26 years ago. I formed the Larry King Cardiac Foundation. I get very involved in that. We've saved a heart a day over these years.
Wow.
By the way, one of the reasons I just want to get over this, that this is Heart Health Month.
Right.
And heart disease is the number one cause of death in America. We've partnered our foundation with Quest Diagnostics. They're our lab partner. And anyone listening now can get a free diagnostic test from Quest. The simple blood test will provide it for you, no charge. and it'll tell you whether you're going to have a heart attack.
Wow.
It can predict a heart attack, which is revolutionary.
Wow.
And the goal is to make people more aware, enable people to significantly decrease their chances of dying by getting this simple blood test. So we're happy to provide it. So I'm active. What I mean, guys, is I'm active.
You're active.
Yeah. Yeah. You certainly, of course, having a young family, obviously that keeps you busy just being out there with the kids and whatnot. You're telling me that there's a blood test now that can predict you are going to have a heart attack. Why isn't this the biggest news in the world? I would think that this would have changed everything medically.
Well, it is. It's been reported. The question has made major steps forward with it. A lot of people don't know. There's so many things in medicine that I learn all the time. People, do you know that twice as many women have heart attacks than have breast cancer?
No.
Wow.
I did not know that.
We learned that this morning.
All right, we're learning. This is the voice of our friend Larry King on the phone here.
I love you guys. The trouble, Kevin, being you're inculcated. You're in that studio in L.A. There's a world out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We did
get outside more is what you're saying, Larry.
Yes. You know, there's things like, I'll give you a tip. There's things like the New York Times.
No. No.
No. I'm sorry. All right. Listen, Larry, we're almost out of time here, sir. And again, I urge our listeners to go to the Larry King Cardiac Foundation website and find out more about the procedure that Larry is talking about with Quest and the blood test, because that really is actually fascinating. I don't know when we'll get a chance to talk to you again, Mr. King, so I wanted to ask you this. Why did you not grow up to be a baseball play-by-play announcer? Because I know that that is your number one passion in the world. Why didn't you do that, Larry? You certainly could have.
Very good question. It's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be Red Barber. I wanted to be Vin Scully.
Mm-hmm.
But I started out in Miami, and I started interviewing, and I got to love interviewing, and I found in interviewing, I had interviewed sports people plus a lot of other people.
Yeah,
so
true.
I got to have a reference, still remain a baseball fan. Then I did Dolphin football. I was the color man for the Dolphins for 7 years. I did the perfect season.
Wow.
We were undefeated in 1972. Yeah, I go in and sit in on baseball games or sit in do Oriole games. I'm a fan of the sport, and if I hadn't carved out this career, I would have been a baseball broadcaster.
That's what you would have been doing. I have heard Larry say, Kevin, that if he wakes up in the morning and the front page of the newspaper says shocking secrets about Larry King's personal life, he will still open the sports section first and read about last night's Dodger game before he reads that headline. Am I right about that, Larry?
You have hit the nail on the head. That is the problem in my life.
All right, the great Larry King. Be sure to watch him on Larry King Now on Hulu and Aura.tv. Always a pleasure to have you on, sir. Thanks for the time.
Hey, by the way, Bean.
Yes, sir.
You know you're listening. Kevin
wants
to take over the show.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not surprised. Thanks, Larry. I'm a little bit worried now that the Oscars are behind us, Kevin.
Are they behind us?
I think they're done. They're finished. But now we're going to have to go months and months without having people on TV reading lists of names of other people on TV.
That's
so
true.
What are we going to do without all of that?
Yeah.
Well, the show is in the history books. Early ratings are coming in showing that it was up quite a bit from last year, by the way. It'd be interesting to see how they shake out once they get the full ratings picture. But Mary McNamara from the Los Angeles Times joins us on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, who gave it, I would say, is it fair to say, mixed review in this morning's paper, Mary?
Mixed, yes, it was. I was not a huge fan, let's just put it that way.
It's funny because when I'm watching a show, I know that my tastes are strange and all my own. And if I don't like a show, which I didn't like that at all last night,
yeah.
As far as I know, everybody else loves it. And I think I'm all by myself. But in this particular case, you agree. It was a very slow show.
I agree. I am shocked to know that there are people who thought it was a great show.
Hey, we just had
nobody thought it was a great show.
Yeah. Mary, we just had Larry King on right before you, and he said, I thought the show was terrific. And then he said, I saw the LA Times didn't like it, and I told him that we were having you on. He's like, tell her she's got a screw loose.
So Larry King says you have a screw loose.
You know what, I think considering the source, Larry King saying that you have a screw loose, I think is proof that you actually are sane.
Well, look, let's try to break down what the problem was. And as I mentioned when we first came on this morning, it's like a four-hour show with about 50 minutes of stuff you're glad you saw. So it's not a good ratio of success. Part of the inherent problem with every Oscars, and last night was no exception, is lots of boring speeches with people reading names, and also category after category after category of stupid things that we just don't care about. And the Oscars seems to refuse to let that go, and that's always going to drag the show down, right?
Well, yes. I mean, you have a lot of below-the-line wins. I actually like those because I think the speeches that come from those people are actually often quite sincere and touching. And it's interesting to know who are the people who are doing, like, this kind of work, the people that you haven't seen trotted out magazine covers everywhere. You know, it's like if I had to look at Anne Hathaway for one more minute, I would go shoot myself in the head.
I agree, yeah. Mary, but watching somebody who you don't know and you haven't seen the live short, animated, whatever.
Well, I know, but that is very, like, very Hollywood insider. I just think that, you know, when you have a show that is, given what it has to do, going to necessarily be long, you don't want to do things to prolong the agony. So, you know, I forget what year it was where they banned the music and right. the, you know, interpretive dance and all of those right. horrible things. And now they're trying to bring it back. And I say no singing, yeah, unless it's Adele or Barbra Streisand. You know, it's like,
let's go with Adele only.
Overdo it. Just go with, you know, when Bruce Springsteen sang, yes, I'm for that. Eminem, yes. It's like, but we don't have to, like, why do we have a big dance number from Chicago in the middle of the Oscars?
Yeah, look.
Because the producers produced Chicago and they could get Catherine Zeta-Jones to agree, doesn't mean that you should do it.
I agree. There was nobody in America in 2013 who was feeling nostalgic for dance numbers from Chicago and wanted them on their TV. Nobody. That was just...
Nobody.
Yeah, I was baffled. Nobody. That was one of those points where I was baffled. I was like... I must be missing something because this doesn't make any sense.
No.
And then here comes Jennifer Hudson, and you're like, oh, and now they're shilling for Smash, which they also produce. And I'm just like, that's over, boys.
Wow. Right. What'd you think of Streisand? Kevin made it sound like he didn't like her. I thought she was great last night.
I loved it.
I thought she was great.
Do we need to hear?
I thought she looked fabulous. Yeah. I thought she sounded fabulous. Again, I thought they made an interesting, you know, decision. They could have had her sing under the In Memoriam, which is what they often do.
Yes.
The, you know, the, and, I, you know, she could have come out. Obviously, she wanted to say something about Marvin Hamlisch, who is her very dear friend. And possibly that was the agreement that she had, that she didn't want to sing under. But I thought, again, that was one where we added minutes where we should have been tightening.
There was a lot of minutes of the way we were. We didn't need the way we were.
The
way we were.
Kevin, that was entirely appropriate. It was an Academy Award winning song from an Academy Award winning actor memorializing an Academy Award winner who just died. I thought that was very
I wanted to stab
moment.
Myself in the eye with an Academy Award fork.
All right, let's talk about the big.
Divisive.
Let's talk about the biggest topic of conversation today, besides how stoned was Kristen Stewart and how drunk was Renee Zellweger, and that is, what'd you think of our host, Seth MacFarlane, Mary?
You know, I didn't think it worked. You know, I think he's very funny. I was kind of nervous because his humor is very edgy, it's very coarse. It's
right.
Very, you know, and so I was like, oh, how's that going to play, blah, blah, blah. And in the end, he made a decision, which I think didn't work, which was like, I'm going to make this opening monologue all about me. You know, it's like he came out, he made a few jokes at the audience, and then it was all about, oh, I'm going to be such a terrible host, blah, 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 blah. And you're just like, okay, the Academy Awards is not about you, Seth MacFarlane. It's supposed to be about film. So I thought I thought it didn't work, and I felt like it was 16 minutes long or 17 minutes, and having, you know, it was a...
You weren't a fan of Captain Kirk?
You know what? I was very happy when that screen started descending, and I was thinking, William Shatner, take over this Oscar. I was like, any time I see Captain Kirk, I'm excited. But then when we went back and forth, and we did the, you know, we saw your boobs number, and it was just like, oh, come on! It just felt very self indulgent. The whole show felt very self indulgent from MacFarlane and the producers to me, and it was like they said that they were going to do one thing, but they actually did another, which was they were trying to be meta. You know, it was like we know that. All attention is on the Oscars and everybody's pick us apart. So we're going to pick us apart before you get a chance to.
Right.
It's just this kind of 7 degrees of self-awareness that.
Yeah, that's an interesting take.
It doesn't really work.
That is interesting. This is the voice of Mary McNamara here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is the LA Times TV critic and senior culture editor at latimes.com, on Twitter at Mary Mac TV. Any speeches that you liked from the various people that won? I think Daniel Day-Lewis always brings it, but surprisingly, he was very funny last night. Anyone else you want to mention, Mary?
I love Adele, and she gave a great little speech at the Golden Globes, and she's just short, and she actually looks surprised and happy. You know, I like the people that. I thought when Christopher Waltz won and he said, I honor the people, his fellow nominees, I thought that was very nice.
I thought, you know, Quentin Tarantino is insane, you know.
Yeah.
So that's always
he was drunk, too, right? He was one of the sweatiest people on stage, right?
Who knows, you know, at this point.
He did end his acceptance speech with peace out, though.
Peace out, which you don't see very often.
Which I love.
I was just like, anytime you can get Robert Downey Jr. and Samuel L. Jackson on the screen, I'm like, can we do a little bit more with this? Because that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
That was, you know. So, yes, there were some nice moments. Jennifer Lawrence, you know, when she tripped, bless her heart, you know, in those stairs are so awful for the women in heels.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they look tough.
They're very steep. At least they're not clear. Some of the stairs at the award shows are clear, and the women's. But it's like women should practice going up those. All of the nominees should practice. So when she fell, and then she got up, and she said that little thing about you're standing. I know it's just because you feel sorry for me. That was very sweet and very natural.
Well, she's adorable. She never makes a misstep. Jennifer Lawrence. She's self-deprecating,
really,
and she's
does.
Funny, and she's having a good time, and she seems like a regular person, and we just love her, and I'm so happy for her. I really am.
You know, in striking contrast to Kristen Stewart,
yep.
who
yes.
got up there and you know looked like. She just looks like a teenager. Like, oh my God, Mom, are you making me go to the Oscars?
She does. She looks like she's at gunpoint. All right, let me ask you about one more thing, Mary. And I was really surprised because one of the things the Oscars has always done well are the tributes, the edited together montages of various artists'
right.
career, or in the case of last night, the James Bond franchise.
Right.
Wasn't that a super boring and mediocre?
It was lame at best.
Well, it was really lame.
I mean, that is where I like just signed off from the show. So if you can't make this interesting, then we're done here. You know,
it's James Bond, one of the most exciting action franchises of all time. Yet they somehow couldn't make that good.
Well, it's like they couldn't. They made a decision with the film clip. I mean, they were very, like this self-indulgent with the weird shapes and colors. Instead of like, I wanted to hear every single one of those guys say Bond, James Bond.
I mean,
you have some of the best voices in film history saying some of like very unforgettable lines,
right.
And we didn't hear one word out of any of the actors. And that was obviously a decision that they made that they weren't going to show. It was silent.
Yeah, good point.
I think that was a mistake.
All right,
it was a mistake. Oh, I'm sorry.
I guess today the phone is ringing for Amy Poehler and Tina Fey to hook them up for next year. I mean, that's already been decided, right?
I would think so. Or the sock puppets from The Flight, when he did the little flight thing. I was like, maybe they could host.
That was funny.
All right, Mary. Well, excellent work. You certainly are. There's no shortage of opinions in your piece. LATimes.com if you want to read what Mary has on this and all the other great stuff going on in the entertainment world. Always a pleasure to have you on The Kevin Bean Show. Thank you for the time.
Thank you so much.
Ralph Garman is out for a couple days working on a TV show. Filling in on Showbiz Today is our old friend Mike Catherwood, who is the co-host of Loveline, airing 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. And Mike, you have something awesome to give away.
That's right, Bean. We've got to take care of some business real quick. Pow.
The first 3 people to call into 1-800-520-1067 wins a pair of tickets to the Paley Fest 2013, the Saban Theater here in Beverly Hills. This Paley Fest is about The Walking Dead.
Yeah!
Fans of The Walking Dead. Now, it's not just the first 3. Actually, I lied. It's the first 3 people who can correctly answer this question. It's not that hard.
Okay.
They call her Little Ass Kicker on the show. But what is the full name, and I need first and last name, real full name of Lori and Rick's baby?
Ooh, I don't know.
On The Walking Dead. They've said it quite a few times. So.
All right. That's
if
cool.
If you're a real fan.
They get the whole cast. They get the creators, everybody. Ask them questions. You get to ask questions from the audience. It's great.
These Paley Center, these Paley Fests are really awesome, like Kevin said. And if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, this is going to be a great experience because you get to really find out some of the behind-the-scenes stuff and see the people that act and produce the show right there in the flesh. So, first 3 people, Lori and Rick's full name of their baby, 1-800-520-1067. Call Uncomfortably Hot intern Brittany. Give her an answer.
Okay.
How old is that, Brittany? My
9.
Okay, good.
Why didn't anybody tell me that Brittany was uncomfortably hot? I didn't even know that, Mike.
Yeah,
I guess they keep that from me. Why do you think we don't tell you?
Yeah, good call.
I'm not creepy.
Wait, God. Why doesn't anybody tell me?
We try to keep everybody away from being.
I'm sweating. All right, so the Academy Awards last night or the Oscars.
What? Those were last night?
But you know what that means. That means that recently, in fact, Saturday night, the Razzie Awards, which is the awards for the worst performances and the worst movies of the year. Now, I did not see Twilight Saga: Breaking Dawn Part 2.
I didn't either.
Neither did I.
But I hear that from people who have seen all of the Twilight movies, that it wasn't even close to as bad as the others.
Yeah, I agree.
I heard that as well.
And it wasn't that bad of a film, and it won a lot of Razzies, seven, to be honest, including Worst Movie. Now, again, like I said, I didn't see this movie. Maybe it is. But I saw a couple movies this year that had to be worse than Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2.
You think it's just a general Kristen Stewart hate now?
I think it's just in vogue to say that Twilight movie sucks.
Kristen Stewart was in vogue?
She was. She was a founding member. How many people being really do you think even Zero. Remember the R&B group En Vogue?
What a man.
Well, that
was a Salt-N-Pepa song that En Vogue was featured on.
Oh,
okay,
sorry.
So don't even go there.
Back to you, Mike.
Although we enjoy hearing you sing their hits.
Giving him something he could feel, you could have gone with. Adam Sandler picked up a lot of awards, too, including Worst Screenplay, Worst Actor for That's My Boy. Again, okay, that probably a worse movie overall than Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn. This one definitely deserved. Rihanna got Worst Supporting Actress for her role in Battleship.
I argue that. I didn't think she was terrible.
But
if you didn't know who she would not have stuck out in any way.
That movie should have won Worst Film.
It wasn't a good movie.
Yeah.
I'm not defending the movie, but her in it, if you didn't know who she was, honestly, you wouldn't have thought twice
about it. Yeah, I don't know. She was all right.
Nobody knocked it out of the park
You know what?
All these movies are questionable.
She's Rihanna, and she sings songs. So you know what? Cut her some slack. Liam Neeson is Liam Neeson. He should get Worst Actor for just being in that movie.
That is a good point.
You're Liam Neeson.
You don't
for
need
Christ
a paycheck,
sake.
Right?
You're Rob Roy. Wasn't he Rob Roy?
Yes.
Okay. You're Rob Roy. You have no business being in Battleship.
I agree.
Next year, Liam Neeson in Candyland.
Does he just take whatever comes his way? Do you think he just says yes to everything?
That's right. I have skills. I have skills that make me a nightmare for you.
That doesn't sound anything like Liam Neeson.
You shut up.
It's a little bit like
you do your Liam Neeson. I want to hear your Liam Neeson. Do it then. Shut your goddamn mouth.
Why is there so much yelling? What's going on? I thought we were all having a good time here.
I was until Linda over here started talking crap about my impersonations.
That wasn't good.
Maybe Bane's coming by later.
That's what
I hope not. I hope not.
Why do you hate Bane? I mean, why do you hate Bane, Bane?
Let's try to get back on track.
Okay.
Okay. Something that'll really make me happy.
Yeah.
Someone flooded the lobby of the Academy Awards last night with a giant deuce.
I am dying to know who did that.
There's got to be security camera outside or something where they can narrow it down to who dropped the bomb.
Two things at play here. Because
during the show?
The fire marshal has said that the leak came from the bathrooms, and the leak came from a toilet in the bathroom.
Men or women?
Okay. That's what I want to know.
Oh. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Obviously, it's a woman, because if it was a man, I don't care if you're Steve-O or you're George Clooney. If you flooded the Academy Awards lobby, you'd be like, look, yep. I gotta fess up to this one. This one is pretty sweet.
My bad, everybody, but how funny was
it? It's got to be a woman who's very, very embarrassed at this point.
We've got to narrow it down. Was this during the show?
Like, yeah.
They were the whole lobby?
There was some flood. According to TMZ, there was flooding in the lobby as people were entering the Academy Awards. Awesome.
That's hilarious.
I mean, that's a feather in your cap for dropping deuces. I thought I could really.
I heard this earlier this morning. I asked where you were.
I thought I could comfortably stay just in the legend category for being banned from the bathrooms here at K-Rock.
Yeah.
But that's next level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that really,
really
is next level.
Hey, right. Mike, before we wrap up, you want to talk to one of your winners?
Yeah.
We've got.
That wasn't very convincing.
Sure.
Jonathan, I think, is the first caller through. He's on line 6. What was the question again?
Jonathan, what is the full name of Rick and Lori's baby on The Walking Dead?
Judith Little Kickass Grimes.
That's right. That's right, young man. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from West Hollywood right now.
West Hollywood. Oh!
Congratulations. Don't make that noise anymore, Mike.
I'm here.
Right. Right, you got a bad phone, but we'll put
compelling
you on hold. Also,
argument, Jonathan.
Also, Lauren and Jerry got through with the correct answer, so they're going to go see The Walking Dead, which is going to be awesome there at the Paley.
All right, there you go. Time for celebrity birthdays. Sally Jesse Raphael. She's terrific. 78 years old. Kurt Rambis, Laker legend, 55. Brian Baker of Bad Religion, 48. Taya Leone. She should work more, according to Lisa May, who's a bitch for making fun of me. 47 years old. You shut up. Nancy O'Dell, 47, from Dancing with the Stars and Entertainment Tonight. Carrot Top, everybody's favorite prop comedian, 46 years old. And Rashida Jones, Kevin, who
I don't have it.
Son of a bitch.
Sorry, can't find it.
Fire beer mug.
Sure wish we could.
Burt McCracken, 31 years old.
We had a great moment with Kevin there that we were going to play, but it's been lost to time.
I'll find it! What do you mean it's been lost?
It's
been lost.
No. All right.
If I find it, can I punch someone? Let showbiz listen when I find this moment.
All right, take it easy.
Giant head.
I think it's been lost.
All right. Rashida Jones, 37 years old. That is the Ralph Garman Showbiz.
I'm going to say a name to you guys, and it's going to take you a few seconds to place it. But it used to be a name we talked about a lot on this show, and that is Spencer Pratt.
Oh, been gone for a long, long,
remember
long
Spencer
time.
Pratt from the Hills. Oh, my God.
Did
is he
I
here?
Hear my name?
We hadn't said your name in a year and a half.
It's like an Ed Hardy bat signal. Sick. Here I am. What's up?
Spencer was the villain, the bad guy on the Hills, of course, on MTV. And then I thought he was gone. I thought he, you know, flopped out on a bunch of reality shows and went broke. And then I thought we'd never hear from him again. Well, apparently, Kevin, he and his wife, Heidi, are having a little bit of a career resurgence in Britain, where they were very popular contestants on Celebrity Big Brother over there.
That's right. Chip, chip, cheerio, chief.
So now everybody's all about Spidey, to the point where Channel 5 in the UK put together a television special called Spidey, Scandal, Secrets, and Surgery. So their 15 minutes of fame is continuing, at least in Britain.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, look, God forbid, Spencer, that you just go out and get an actual regular job and just stop being a douchebag on TV. But apparently you're just trying to figure out a way to go from one reality show to another
it's
instead of working.
It's not my fault. You know, it's like every morning I wake up and I get on my hands and knees and I pray to the church of sick, you know, to the gods up above. Right. You know what I'm saying? The triumvirate, you know, Ed Hardy, Affliction.
Right.
Fonda, just like, and the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, sick. Hey, Linda, how are you?
I forgot.
Lisa.
Nah, you look like you've lost some weight. You look. You look a little younger. Keep
I forgot
going.
How little
oh,
we
chief,
liked him.
Right? So awful.
Yeah. Hey, Chief Kendall. Hey,
Kevin,
Turbo.
Kevin.
Hey, Chief. Hey, Captain.
Just for a
second. Where'd you get that hoodie?
Damn,
did you get that at Kitson? Nice. No, looks good on you. Have you been working out? You do jujitsu? I'm a black belt.
You're not a black belt. Isn't it A, shocking that Spencer's still married to Heidi? Like, that marriage has survived. Isn't that shocking? And B, wait till you hear what was revealed on this Channel 5 Britain special, and that is that the couple apparently has just a house full of assault weapons. They are just armed to the teeth.
Why?
Well, let's find out. Here's a clip of the show of them showing off their weapons.
This is our Benelli semi-automatic shotgun. I like to have Christmas color cartridges. LWRC Reaper. This is our FBI hostage rescue team sniper rifle. This is how you reach out and touch a bad guy.
This is my gun.
She's so smart. Oh, my Aryan queen. I love her.
At least you're naming weapons. She just goes with gun.
No That's idea. Right.
I believe in gun control.
Gun?
I believe in gun control,
you
Linda.
Do.
That's right.
What kind
then
of gun
why don't
control?
You control how many guns you have, Spencer? Because it sounds you look like you're preparing for Waco. What's going on, dude?
Well, because he who controls the guns controls the streets. Click, clack, what?
You're not a gangster. You're not running
what?
In the streets.
Oh,
that's
yeah?
not you.
You better watch your mouth or I'll twist your wig back. That's right. Bust a cap right in you. Serve you proper like.
Why do you need an FBI hostage rescue?
Oh, well, because I'm the 23rd
rifle.
District Congressman from South Carolina.
What?
And I have been for a long time.
No, you're not.
In between
not
being
true.
The biggest esthetician in the world, people come from all over the place to where I live now in London at Buckingham Palace, which I built.
You don't live there. You
I'm amazing.
You didn't build it.
Yep.
Look, Spencer,
I'm Mumford and his son.
You're not
Sick.
Any of those things. Listen, I get that you have a Second Amendment right in the United States to have a handgun. I understand that. I understand you might want to have one to protect your family. I get that. Why do you need dozens of weapons in your house? That's what I don't understand.
Because in the sleeve of the wizard lives the valley of the dead.
I don't. I'm not sure.
Yeah, really pretty teeth.
That?
You know that, Lisa?
Sleeve of the wizard.
I just said her name right.
You did. You said Lisa, yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's
so funny.
Shocking.
Oh, rat-a-tat-tat, I'm Lion King.
You're not the Lion King.
What is happening right now?
I'm Jim Beam.
Are you armed now? That's my primary concern at this point.
I am. I'm armed with my Ruger in my back pocket, and I got my rhinestone-covered ferret pelt scrotal armor right on top of my main gun right here, custom-made by Jacob the Jeweler, Lisa. Let me show you this gun.
I don't want to
check it out. It's a sword from Valhalla, where I was born.
We have to go. We have to. Okay, one more time, but then that's it. We don't ever have to talk about the Oscars again, right?
Correct, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Even, including next year, as far as I'm concerned.
By the way, last night the show ended after midnight on the East Coast. That can't be. Ain't nobody got time for that, right?
I agree. And there was some kind of – I taped an extra 30 minutes, and there was some kind of a This Is to the Losers song.
Yes. They don't do this very often.
Didn't get it.
Usually, oh really?
Didn't get
even
it.
Even though you added an extra 30 minutes, yes. it's still cut off. That's hilarious. That's how late the show was running. Usually, the show ends after the person who picks up the award for Best Picture says thanks, and that's the end of the show. But this time, and they never showed the audience because I wondered how many of them were still in their seats at this point. This time, Seth MacFarlane decided to sing a song with Kristen Chenoweth that I guess they were writing throughout the evening about the people who didn't win, which was kind of a final dig on, hey, I know it was a long, boring show and you had a crappy night and you lost the Oscar, but let's take a shot at you on your way out of the arena.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was kind of, I don't know. I love Seth MacFarlane and his humor.
Yeah.
But I don't think that crowd appreciates that type of humor.
But I'm part of that crowd as a home viewer, and I didn't think he was very good.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I was miserable last night. That show went on forever. Seth MacFarlane was funny in certain parts at the beginning when he was talking about Argo.
Argo. Who saw Argo, right? Great movie. Argo tells the previously classified story about an American hostage rescue in post-revolutionary Iran. Now, the story was so top secret that the film's director is unknown to the Academy.
See, because he didn't get nominated, but everybody knows Ben Affleck.
Right.
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 Good joke. Good joke.
Captain Kirk came down in the middle of it. I don't know what was happening, and he was telling Seth MacFarlane that he was going to ruin the Academy Awards with this song about seeing all the women's boobs.
Meryl Streep, we saw your boobs in Silkwood. Naomi Watts in Mulholland Drive. Angelina Jolie, we saw your boobs in Gia. They made us feel excited and alive.
Do you think, here's my question though. They take themselves very, very, very seriously at the Oscars. Yes.
Some people do, right.
They're dressed up to the nines. Mm-hmm. And
they're like, look at us, we're actors.
Yes, and it's sort of snooty from some of them. So I don't know that they're down for the We Saw Your Boobs song.
Act the way we saw your boobs in Brokeback Mountain. Halle Berry, we saw them in Monsters Ball. Hillary Swank and Boys Don't Cry. Penelope Cruz and Vanilla Sky. And Kate Winslet in Heavenly Creatures and Jude. And Hamlet and Titanic and Iris and Little Children and The Reader. And whatever you're shooting right now, we saw your boobs.
See, that was funny.
I thought that was the best moment of the whole night. And by the way, my friend Mr. Skin, best human ever, if you go to his site today, MrSkin.com, he has clips from every one of those movies that Seth mentioned up on his front page so you can see all the scenes he's talking about, which is awesome.
Here's Daniel Day-Lewis joke.
You know, this is interesting. Daniel Day-Lewis, not the first actor to be nominated for playing Lincoln. Raymond Massey portrayed him in 1940's Abe Lincoln in Illinois. I would argue, however, that the actor who really got inside Lincoln's head was John Wilkes Booth. Really, 150 years and it's still too soon, huh?
He knew that one was going to get booed, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He knew it was going to get booed.
I think there was a lot of that from Seth, though, where he was kind of pushing the audience just to see what would fly. He made a lot of jokes about the show being bad and about him bombing and about it being boring and about it going too long. It's almost like he was trying to take the air out of it before anyone else could.
But who knew then that was all going to come true?
Yeah, right.
You're sort of hoping at that point that it's not going to be that way because he's, you know, cognizant of it.
Right.
But it went south, and it went south hard when they started doing all the musical stuff. Look, I know that that's an art form. I understand that there are people out there who live for that type of stuff.
Come on, baby, why don't we paint the town and all that jazz?
I'm sorry, I'm not the guy for that.
I love Broadway, and I fast-forwarded.
I don't know why that was there.
It made no sense.
You said it was some kind of an anniversary bean?
10th anniversary of Chicago winning Best Picture, but so what?
So what?
But who cares, right? I mean, and I know, you know, as we mentioned earlier, I know the producers of the Oscars also produced Chicago, but so what? It's not about you. It's not a retrospective of your career. No, stop it.
I'll tell you what I need less is Barbara Streisand singing a song that's 75 years old.
The way we
wrong.
No, you're wrong. You're missing the boat. That was a great moment, and it was completely and wholly appropriate to have her on.
Wrong.
And sing that song. Marvin Hamlisch, one of the geniuses of modern movie music, is she was paying tribute to her close friend.
you bring in clips next time.
He wrote this.
This is
song,
my
for
opinion.
God's sake. You can be wrong.
I can be wrong, but if you'd like to do it any differently, feel free to do it yourself. It took me all night. Freaking show. Kristen Stewart.
Our next award honors those who give a film its visual concept and design.
She starts out with a...
I'm so tired. I don't want to be
after
here.
Limping up.
I have a question for you guys because she's done this on every television show she's ever appeared on. Why do they keep inviting her? Is it because they think somehow young people will tune in to the Oscars because there's a Twilight star?
That has to be the reason, because her performance, you would think, would get her banned every year. You would think that would happen.
Right.
But it doesn't, and it must be because they think they're getting a younger audience. At least Daniel Radcliffe tried to step it up.
These artists whose work you're about to see created the remarkable and unique look of Middle-earth.
She's still clearing her throat and making noises.
I know.
Of a man and tiger lost at sea, and of 19th century Russia, Paris, and the American Civil War.
Now she dozes, then she realizes it's her turn.
Here are the nominees for Achievement in Production Design.
All right, yeah.
Here are the nominees for Achievement.
Here are the nominees for Achievement in Production Design. Quentin Tarantino was my favorite speech.
Thank you very much. I love this. I love the competition. You guys are all wonderful. Peace out.
Has there ever been a peace out before?
I don't think so. I love Quentin, too, and he always seems genuinely excited to be there. There's no question he loves movies, but I will tell you that his speech for me was a little bit of, look how great I am. I'm the guy who hired all these great actors. You know what I mean? Which is kind of weird because, look, he's a genius, I think, and the movie is certainly his vision. But it is a collaborative effort, and he did have great performances from Jamie Foxx and from Leonardo DiCaprio and from Christoph Waltz. It wouldn't have hurt him to spread it around a little bit and thank them instead of, I'm the genius for hiring them.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all I'm saying.
He did say I a lot.
Right.
And my final clip is Les Mis. I hear that Anne Hathaway won the award just for that song.
Pretty much.
I don't understand what that's all about, because when she sang the song on stage, I thought...
Dreams, and yours that and wasted.
Yeah, I don't think she sounds very good either.
There was no man's hand to
repair. Maybe she just couldn't hear the orchestra, or...
No song and sung no wine and tasted.
And everybody just pretends they love it, right?
Right. And then they applauded as if that was
standing ovation. What's up?
Stop that.
Mike Catherwood is here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, filling in for Ralph Graham with the Showbiz Beat. Mike, of course, the co-host of Loveline with Dr. Drew. Hey, by the way, Mike, you tweeted something the other day about you and Dr. Drew doing a podcast together. Is this new? What's going on?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Bean. It is new, and it is a podcast with Dr. Drew and I called the Mike and Drew Podcast.
Okay.
How are people going to find it?
Well, I get top billing for once. It's Mike and Drew, and... on iTunes and podcast1.com, and we kind of dive into all the stuff we can't get to on Loveline because the people are calling with pesky questions.
With their questions, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right. I can't believe Dr. Drew wants to spend more time with you, but whatever he's come up with, all right.
Dr. Drew and I spent practically the whole weekend together. Even when we're not working, we were together because we are butt buddies.
You're in love.
That's right.
Wait, what?
Uh-huh. We make sweet love together.
Well, Mike is here because Ralph is out for a couple days working on a TV show. Before we get to the Showbiz Beat, though, Kevin, I believe you have congratulations to give to somebody who's going to be bringing Green Day on stage at the LA Sports Arena on April the 18th. That was the contest we had going on all weekend long. You get to present Green Day. Who's our winner, please?
I'm sure I'm not saying Peter Treitel's last name right.
Peter Treitel? Treitel? Treitel?
Keep going.
I don't know. I have no idea. But Peter won from Ontario, California. He's the dude. Congratulations, Peter. So you get to bring Green Day on stage at the sports arena from the world-famous Kerouac. Well done. Now it's Mike's turn.
Nine Inch Nails coming back.
What?
Nine Inch Nails is coming back.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. I love them so much.
Yes. Do you remember like 4 or 5 years ago when Trent Reznor said, absolutely no way, Nine Inch Nails is done. I'm going to be a movie scoring guy.
But here's the thing about Trent Reznor. He has said that 15 times throughout his career.
Yeah, I mean,
he gets tired of stuff and he says, that's it. I can't do it anymore. But then he changes his mind eventually.
I think he's like a tortured dude.
Yeah.
It's like the way Kanye quits Twitter. I'll never tweet again. And then like 3 months later, he's back on.
It's like Kanye quitting Twitter, except this is cool. This is good.
This is better. This is, yeah.
We're happy that this guy's back.
Can't wait. New music too? New album?
I was thinking about it. Yeah. 2013, 2014, there's going to be extensive touring. Announces the return of Nine Inch Nails, blah, 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 blah. And he's also, yes, collaborating in the studio. By the way, if you are a fan of Trent Reznor and his music and Nine Inch Nails, How to Destroy Angels is his new project with his wife.
Try it.
Marikeen Mandig.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of other collaborators. But the album's not available till March 5th. You can listen to it at Pitchfork's website. That's a record label. Pitchfork right now over at pitchfork.com. You can listen to the whole streaming album.
I have a clip. Really? I have a clip of How to Destroy Angels if you want to hear what that sounds like. Right, this is a little bit of more of an electronic project with Trent Reznor's wife. I think you'll like it.
I don't think that's it.
I'm sorry. That's actually that's the pug that sings the Batman theme. I'm sorry. I got the
wrong
clip there.
I have a clip if you want. How to Destroy Angels. Yeah.
Mama. Just kill a man.
Wow.
Put a gun against his head.
Trent does not sound enthusiastic.
Kind of violent.
Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead.
He's crying? What's happening? I don't understand.
Bean, do you have a clip?
It's funny you should ask, Michael.
My vagina's so itchy. So, so itchy. So freaking itchy.
That's a different direction for that band.
Hot girls, we have problems too. We're just like you.
That's Trent's wife. Right? Incredible departure from his typical work. Oh, how I've missed the show. Yeah!
This is Trent. Come on, we miss that song, don't we?
Oh, God.
What you making? Fruitcake! What you baking? Fruitcake!
I don't know that that's it either.
Mamas, don't let your babies turn into gay cowboys.
I don't think that's them either. Sorry.
I don't know why we have to.
I got big booty bitches, big booty bitches. I got big booty bitches.
I like later in Big Booty Bitches where he clarifies 300 pounds. Like it's got to be 400 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. You don't want to just go for big. You need to go big.
Are we done?
We're done, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we're done.
Marcus Mumford wants to rap.
I'm sorry?
Marcus Mumford of Mumford & Sons. You know, he wants to rap.
Awesome. When? Where? I would like to hear that.
We definitely had a graduation to go through with the sound that we had through Sigh No More to Babel, and that sound feels satisfied. We really want to rap. We've just got so much to say, saying it through a melody doesn't really work for me. We've been talking with Jay-Z about it.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be a fresh experience for our band.
I have a clip.
Oh, dear God.
I want to know what Mumford's like. I'd love to hear some Mumford rapping.
Pay my dues, time after time.
Wow.
I've done my sentence. I committed no crime.
That's not what I would have expected at all from them.
Could you have at least chose rap? I mean, how about some Terrell Owens rapping?
Give us some time.
Lisa May rapping? Anything.
Like
how about Brow
rapping?
Down? Any Brow Down available? Anything?
Yeah, I guess that.
You think things have changed since you left?
No.
Oh, I wish the radio audience could see Kevin and Chip just scouring all audio. All right.
Back to you.
Number one movie in the box office this weekend. Typically not a good weekend for movies because it was the weekend of the Academy Awards. Identity Thief, just pulling in $14 million, made it number one in the box office. Now, this movie has been, I guess, popular. It's been number one in the box office a couple weeks, but it's been critically panned. I have not seen this movie.
I have seen it.
Is it good?
I liked it. I laughed at it.
Okay.
But I was
that doesn't make it good, though, right?
No, it doesn't make it good. I know my taste is questionable, but I love her.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
really
love
funny.
Him.
And Jason Bateman's awesome.
And so maybe the movie isn't great, but watching them is great. And there are a lot of laughs.
That actually makes sense.
Okay.
All right, fair enough. Someone clogged the toilets at the Academy Awards.
That's the best story ever.
Doc really came in and let the wind out of our sails because I guess they identified the person who did it. And what? She's embarrassed. And it was someone's mom, some guy who edits sound. Some, you know, whack job.
Mom, I'm not taking you next year.
Yeah, and she's a million years old, and she had, you know, Geritol poops. And,
oh.
Yeah.
So sad.
Crazy big poops, fool. All right. I don't know really what else to say except for celebrity birthdays.
That's fine.
So happy to be here.
It doesn't sound like it.
So happy to be here when I do a radio show till midnight. Post-show meeting.
Catching up, is it?
Get home. And I got a wife to go home to.
Please, like she wants you around. Celebrity birthdays.
Sally Jesse Raphael, 78 years old. Former NBA player and coach of the lovely Lakers, 55 years old. And by the way, the tide is turning.
Tide is turning.
Yeah,
the tide is now. Agreed.
It's been a miserable season.
Agreed.
All you Clipper fans, it's happening now. Mm-hmm. The Lakers are making their push.
How
do
you like us now, yeah. Dallas?
Hey, Kobe doubled down last week in that interview with Sports Illustrated where he still is guaranteeing the Lakers will make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So he's not about to lose a game.
You're
at
ninth
this point.
Place, dude.
And Kobe was making Lisa May gangster face last night, you know, and so you know he's serious and focused. He scrunches up his lip.
That's right. He means it.
Guitarist Brian Baker of Bad Religion, 48 years old. Actress Taya Leone, 47. Nancy O'Dell, who's very, very hot at 47. She's from Entertainment Tonight. She is 47. Happy birthday, Nancy. I love you. Every once in a while, you meet a woman. I've met Nancy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know this for a fact, but every once in a while, you meet someone and you just go, I bet she has exceptional genitals. And that's Nancy O'Dell.
Really?
I didn't know that was a category. Really?
Of course it's a category.
I just look in your eye. I'm like, man, I bet it's just like a little, like an angelic garden of love.
Well, she does look clean, fool.
Yeah.
Nope. You can't pull that off. You can't even come close to pulling that off. Mike can't finish.
Millions of Hispanic listeners around the Southland's heads just blew off their body. They do look clean, foo. comedian Carrot Top is 46. Rudy, Sean Astin, not my Rudy, right. Not our Rudy.
The right. Real Rudy.
The real Rudy. Yeah, Sean Astin, he's 42 years old. Chelsea Handler's a liar, says she's 38. And Rashida Jones, beautiful,
sweet,
talented,
funny.
Comes from a very famous family.
Yep.
I remember, you know, it's her birthday. She's 37. Congratulations, Rashida. You're great. I remember when Kevin was interviewing her when she was just starting on Parks and Recreation.
The Office.
Or The Office.
No, well, and she was on... She was on The Office, but she started on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, a little complex, isn't it, Mike? Well, it's a little complex, isn't it?
You know what? I sound a lot better than you in this moment with Kevin.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the main one?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Right. I could have said that better. If that's what you're saying.
Did that hurt?
Yeah.
Does that physically cause you pain?
It does because it was so long that I have time to stab myself in the eye with my pencil while I'm doing it. And I know I'm not going to get out of it, but I keep trying.
And part of it also is that you're talking to Rashida Jones, who you love.
Yes, I love her.
Because we all do. Because she's beautiful and she's so talented. And you don't want to sound like a damn fool when you're on the phone with her.
But there is a difference between the quick little dumb fools and the long extended you can't dig your way out of the hole.
Well,
those are soul crushing.
Yeah, it's like doing a combination in a boxing match. Like once you commit to it, you can't stop. You got to just keep flailing.
But you know you have to stop because you're going down. You're getting tagged.
As soon as I start with the outside office,
it wasn't my brightest moment.
Clean foo. All right, everybody. It's always great to be back here. I love you all.
Thank you,
we
Mike.
Love you too.
And assalamu alaikum.
Brad Williams at Funny Brad will be here tomorrow morning, filling in on the showbiz. We also have Naked Yoga tomorrow. What the hell's that? We have Joe Levy from Billboard Magazine talking.
Have you done Naked Yoga yet, Mike?
No, I have not.
That sounds like something you'd be into.
I'm a yoga fan. I've not done Naked Yoga.
Apparently, that's the hot thing right now.
It depends on who's doing it.
I don't like to take my clothes off ever, so I don't think I'd go to a Naked Yoga class.
All right. Do you have to? I mean, you know, do they check your clothes at the door? Can you go clothed? We need to find these things out.
I can guarantee not a lot of hot people there.
No, that's the problem.
It's going to be Hedo Rick.
All men.
That's
and Melissa McCarthy.
Right.
And Eli Roth will be in talking about The Last Exorcism 2. How can it be The Last Exorcism and have a 2? Somebody explain that to me. We will talk to him tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.